You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Guys, doing
what's up, everybody?
It's time for this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. It is our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and the best of 2014.
That's right.
Yep, this is our 2014 best of show.
That's right. We'll bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness, because you never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, especially with the big batch of odd news we have ready for all our fans later in the show. Isn't that right?
Yep. We will entertain you with all of the crazy and true stories that actually happened this year. We went back on an episode-by-episode basis just about
and
just re-listened to the odd news that happened every week. For the past 51 weeks of 2014.
Oh, my gosh.
And, oh, my gosh. Just going through all of the mayhem and craziness. I can't believe some of the stories. We've picked out some of the best that we've come across. And we split them up into categories. And we're going to have fun with them. It's going to be great.
Yeah, we are. But that is for later in the show.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
I know. Just a little teaser to keep you guys hooked. But before we get started, as you all know, it was Christmas last week.
Yeah, we had our Christmas episode last week.
So, Rich, I got to ask you, how was your Christmas holiday?
It was good. I had the seven fishes.
Oh, yeah. Did you have all seven?
Yeah. You have to.
You have to.
If it's offered, you have to have the seven fishes.
It's tradition. That's right.
It's bad luck.
Is it?
Yeah. You know what? It is.
It is, according to Rich.
Yes.
So if you only had six out of the seven, that you're done for.
Yes, it's the rules that I've just made up.
Yes. No, it's been an Italian tradition since 5 seconds ago.
Right. It was good. Had the weekend off. Got to catch up on the newsroom and a couple of other shows.
Oh, the newsroom.
It was a good time. I guest starred, if you will, on Jackie Bam Bam's Santa Tracker show.
That's right.
For Christmas.
You do that every year now, right?
Yeah, it's now becoming, that's another tradition I've just made up off the top of my head. It was fun. Jackie Bam Bam, WMR's overnight DJ, invites me to help track Santa Christmas midnight going in the morning, and it was a lot of fun.
Did you track him down?
Yeah, we did. We were following him as it happened live.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, Santa's a hell of a guy. He's just going all over the world.
Very, very fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun. And I can't believe it's the end of the year now. This is it. We're here. This is it. End
it
of 2014.
Like just yesterday we were, doing – the start of this year, getting ready for a whole new batch of odd news, and now it's already over, Rich.
Crispy Noodle Podcast, 2014. Boom! In your face!
This is the last time we're going to be able to play this clip.
I know. What are we supposed to do for 2015?
You're going to have to record a new one.
Oh my!
Because we have to get ready for the copyright of 2015.
The pressure's on.
On you. Do
on
it.
On me. Now?
Yes.
Crispy Noodle Podcast, 2015. Bazinga! Get over here!
Get over here?
I don't know.
Scorpion?
I could kick myself. I used the stupid, what's that show called?
Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory. I hate that show. I don't like that show at all, and I used it.
All right, well, we'll record a different one.
We'll see. We'll see.
So how was your Christmas?
Other than that awful attempt at a 2015 recording, it was good. It was good. Like you, I had all the seven fishes at Christmas Eve.
Fish.
What?
Fish.
Fish, yes. Why did you do it that way? Have you been drinking, Rich?
I might have. I gotta admit, the last week on the Christmas show, you had a couple. I had a couple glasses of wine with your dad. It was great.
Yeah, well, I mean, we needed it for that craziness. But okay, you caught me completely off track with the fish. That's gonna be in the 2015 recording.
Yes, put that in the 2015 recording.
Oh my gosh, but yeah, my Christmas break has been good. Spending lots of time with family and you know, entertaining a lot of people coming over and hanging out. Also, been getting into a couple of video games that I got for Christmas. I got the Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor game. I know you're not a big fan of Lord of the Rings, but I got to tell you, it's really good. It's really good. It's like Assassin's Creed meets Batman Arkham City, and you're like, oh, God.
Are you done talking?
Wow.
What was that?
Yeah, I'm done talking, Rich. Maybe I'll just leave.
I'm sorry.
I'm horrible with like Middle Earth fantasy.
Yeah, I know you're not a... That's why I bring it up, because I know you hate it.
Yeah.
Ugh. What else am I supposed to do? Not mention it?
The thing that pisses me off.
Yeah, it actually pisses you off?
No, it's not really that interesting to me. I don't know. Oh. Just never really... Lord of the Rings just never really stuck with me.
Yeah. Well, longtime fans will know that... You've made your sentiments quite clear over the years.
but there you go. That's what we've been up to in our week since our last episode, since our Christmas episode. If you haven't checked it out, definitely do it.
What
a lot
an episode.
Of fun.
Oh, gosh.
And now we are here, the last episode of 2014. Let's kick it off like we always do with our first batch of topics. We like to call it the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Yep, in your face.
Oh, that's right. Well, Rich, it's the end of the football season.
Yeah, it's appropriate. That's the end of the year and the end of the football season.
It is. Well, for the Eagles, at least.
So for you, you're going to go into hibernation and not even come out because all you're about is football.
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitching fuck football.
Yep, it's hibernation time. Wake me when September comes around, or August rather.
Trying to quote Green Day.
Well, I was going to, but then I realized it's wake me when September ends, and I was like, no, because then I'll miss the first four games of the season.
Wake me up when
football begins. The off season ends.
Yeah,
doesn't have the same flow. Off season ends.
Yeah.
There's got to be a new, shorter term to use for off season.
Like what? No play?
No play time.
No play time.
Wake me up when no play time ends. Hey, it actually fits there.
Oh my gosh. We're going to get sued by Green Day. But anyway, yeah, so the season is over, but that doesn't mean football talk ends necessarily, Rich.
No.
We got to talk about the Eagles year. We got to do an Eagles year in review.
Yep.
We got to review everything that happened this year, talk about the positives, talk about the negatives, and talk about our outlook for next year.
All right. So let's start off with the positives, shall we?
He's okay. Better than nothing.
All right. And what
are
the positives?
Let's start off with the positives.
Well, with the Iron Sheik.
What? With the Iron Sheik, yes.
Yep, exactly.
He's okay. Better than nothing.
Well, you know who was okay and actually... much better than nothing was Zach Ertz.
Yeah.
He's one of the positives for me. He had that record-breaking game a few weeks ago where he had 15 receptions for 115 yards. He's going to be a good tight end for the Eagles.
Yep, definitely a good find.
He's a good replacement. I know Brent Celek isn't ready to leave yet, but you know what?
That doesn't stop you from running two tight end formations.
Well, that's the popular thing in the NFL now is, you know, two tight end formations, one blocking and one receiving tight end.
Right.
And Zach Ertz is that receiving tight end. He causes matchup problems. He's, you know, he has a knack for getting first downs for us, it seems.
Yep.
And, you know, Mark Sanchez doesn't have the arm strength. You really saw Zach Ertz emerge in the last half of the season.
Yep.
I mean, every game seemed to be a big game for him. So that's one of my positives. But there's more positives with his Eagles team. Like run defense. I mean, even though the pass defense
was
weak.
It was a very good front seven they've got.
It was. When you look at, you know, before D'Amico Ryans went down, we had D'Amico Ryans, Michael Kendricks, and Connor Barwin, and of course Trent Cole, arguably, you know, one of the better linebacking groups in the NFL, especially with the way Connor Barwin played. Mm-hmm. And some people think Michael Kendricks should have gotten a Pro Bowl nod as well.
Mm. Eh, Oh yeah, well, that, I'd say that's a little iffy.
Well, Michael Kendricks was all
good.
Over the place.
He's good, but
he was.
You know, Pro Bowl is you got to be the best of the best.
He was pretty damn good though.
Yeah, he was.
He was always around the
Connor
football.
Connor Barwin though definitely deserved it.
Connor Barwin, yeah, he did make the Pro Bowl. Fletcher Cox though, what about him in the middle? He didn't have the stats, but a lot of people say he was the anchor of that defense on that defensive line.
Yeah, definitely causing problems there on the 3-4 defense, which was also something new, wasn't it?
It was, and you know, I think it worked out for the most part.
Yeah,
I mean, teams struggled running against us, which is, you know, that's always a positive. The problem, though, is obviously the pass defense then.
Yeah.
But we're not getting to negatives yet. I don't know. What are some positives, in your opinion, for the Eagles team this year?
Well, I mean, the first two that we mentioned definitely highlight the best that we've got. I'm really looking forward to how well we can use these random opportunities like punt return touchdowns, kick return touchdowns, fumble recoveries.
We blocked several punts this year, which is
easily
not,
led the league in punt blocks.
And special teams as a whole was much better this year in terms
other than Cody Parkey's horrible game against the Redskins.
Yeah,
this special teams was on its 100% A game.
Yeah, and you know, before that game, Cody Parkey was 29 for 31 on the year.
Yeah.
With like 4 field goals from 50 plus. So you know, a lot better than who was our last kicker? Alex Henry.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Cody Parkey and even Donnie Jones routinely kicking the ball inside the 20 or in the end zone. Just special teams all around was really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good on all aspects. Another big positive that I noticed was the progression of Jordan Matthews, rookie wide receiver who we drafted in the second round.
He's been a big star now.
For me,
he was Sanchez's pretty much go-to wide receiver.
Yeah, him and Ertz, they carried the team the last half of the year. And for me, Jordan Matthews is Riley Cooper's replacement. I don't see a spot for Riley Cooper on this roster anymore, unfortunately. You know, they just paid him money. But this year it showed. He had less and less action as the season went on.
Yes, he did. All right. Is it time?
It's time. We got to go over the negatives.
Because you suck, Hulk Hogan. And you suck, Hulk Hogan ass.
There's so many bleeps in that. I have no idea what he said.
If you use your dirty mind, you can figure it out.
Okay.
But there you go. It's time to start the negatives of the Eagle season with the Iron Cheek.
Because you suck, Hulk Hogan. And you suck Hulk Hogan ass.
And I need to start this off.
Go for it.
Oh God, this pass defense. I want to just fire every person that played for the Eagles pass defense this year.
Oh my God, 15 games to realize that Bradley Fletcher was not the answer at cornerback. And it took three straight games where he just let up pass after pass.
Burn.
Yeah, these weren't 7-8 yard passes. These were 20.
70, 80.
30. Yeah, 70, 80 yard passes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And you're just not going to be able to sustain a good defense if you're letting out big plays. Eagles, number one team in big plays of 20 yards or more that they allowed.
Yeah.
You can't win.
Last year, we led in making those plays. And this year, we were
allowing them.
Yeah, exactly. You can't win games that way.
No.
It's just impossible. But, you know, it's not all Bradley Fletcher, because Kerry Williams on the other side, you know, he bites sometimes on double moves. You have Nate Allen, who's always out of position. I've never seen a safety be behind the cornerback so many times. When they're running down the field, Nate Allen is, like, trailing behind Kerry Williams. They're like, what are you doing? Malcolm Jenkins, you know, he's mostly used for run support. He's a strong safety, so you're not going to see him covering wide receivers. But the fact of the matter is, we have 4 subpar D-backs.
Yep.
You know,
we need somebody there.
You can make the case for Malcolm Jenkins, you know, being he was an all right player. You know, Kerry Williams was okay, but Nate Allen and Bradley Fletcher, they've got to go, I think.
Yeah.
Nate Allen, he's worn out his welcome. But what else do you do? Do you bring Brandon Boykin up to replace Bradley
Fletcher? Draft a cornerback.
Yeah.
Draft Help.
Yeah, none
free agent. Help.
None of this hybrid defensive end linebacker BS.
No.
Which is another negative. Our first round pick didn't play at all.
Yeah.
He played maybe a handful of snaps. You spent a first round pick on a project. You don't spend a first round pick on a project. You spend a fifth round pick on a project.
That sounds like the Sixers logic.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's like, oh, he's a project. We're working on him. No. First round picks are supposed to come in and start.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't waste a first round pick like that.
It's too valuable. It's too valuable.
Don't do it again.
No, don't ever do it again.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand. We don't even know the guy, Marcus Smith. He hasn't been on the field at all.
I got to bring up another problem here.
Okay.
What the hell happened to LeSean McCoy? I mean, I am so glad.
Boy.
At the beginning of this season, he was the number one overall projected fantasy player. Number one overall.
Yeah.
I am so glad I didn't pick him in the first draft of my fantasy league, because he was just a complete bust.
He tanked.
Yeah.
Through the first like 8-9 games, he did nothing.
Yeah. What happened there?
Well, short answer is offensive line. First four games, it was a carousel of different offensive linemen up front. You know, we had injuries, we had suspensions, we had shaky quarterback play. The offense was not clicking those first four or five games. But after that, I think it got into his head a little bit. You know, I think he was looking for the home run every single play, because he has to be Shady McCoy. You know, from last year. No, don't be Shady McCoy. Be LeSean McCoy. Be a consistent running back.
Yeah, we would rather
before you hit the home runs.
We would rather you average 4 to 5 yards a carry first, then worry about the
But the touchdowns will come.
Yeah.
He will get his big runs. He's got to worry about hitting the holes and gaining positive yardage, not dancing in the backfield.
Yeah, I mean, it got to a point where I was looking forward to more Sproles and Polk getting the ball than McCoy.
Yeah, yeah,
ugh.
Polk.
Yeah,
he's coming along nicely.
Yeah, he could be I don't understand why they didn't just set out like a full house formation. Send out three running backs and just be like, well, you don't know who's going to get the ball, but somebody dangerous is going to get the ball.
Yeah, I know. You know, that's another negative, really, is Chip Kelly. As much as I think Chip Kelly can be a good coach, I don't know if he's reached that point yet.
Yeah, let's put things into perspective. This is only his second year.
Yeah, but you know what's worrying me is he's too cute. He's too smart. He outsmarts himself like Andy Reid did. You know? Do you get what I'm saying?
I don't know about Andy Reid.
Well, no, the point that I'm making is that Andy Reid had...
I need a cheesesteak immediately. Right after this series. yes. I need to do a better job. And call in that cheesesteak immediately. Thank you. Yes.
And next time we can't forget the fried onions.
Yes.
But the point that I'm making is that Andy Reid would have a game plan. And if it worked, he looked like a genius. If it didn't, he didn't know how to correct course. And we're seeing the same thing out of Chip Kelly. You know, time management as well. Andy Reid took too much time. Chip Kelly takes too little time.
Yeah.
How many times this year we're like, oh, they held the ball for 15 minutes.
Do you want to hear a really weird stat?
What?
The Eagles were in the top five of most plays run on average per game, but yet they were in the bottom five of time of possession.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Because because we let opposing offenses score really quickly with our horrible pass D.
Yeah.
So we get back on the field, do a quick three and out, and then repeat the process over and over and over again.
Step one, three and out. Step two, let the opposition score. Step three, question mark. Step four, profit.
Yeah.
Hey. No, it doesn't work.
It works for the Eagles. I mean, they sell a boatload of tickets and merchandise, you know? But the point is, I'm seeing a lot. Sometimes I feel like I'm watching Andy Reid 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing a lot of passing plays.
Let's hope it doesn't come to that.
I hope not. You know, Andy Reid was good because he had Jim Johnson and Donovan McNabb. Chip Kelly does not have Jim Johnson, and we don't have Donovan McNabb.
No, we don't have we have Nick Foles. He's all right.
He's okay. He's
serviceable.
Yeah, serviceable. But that's serviceable is not going to win you anything.
Right. Not without some talent with you.
Yeah. Speaking of Nick Foles and serviceable quarterbacks, we had a big problem this year.
Yeah.
Two subpar quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Let's not beat around the bush here. You know, Nick Foles went 6-2. That's great. But he played horribly.
Yeah, especially the first couple of games.
Oh my gosh, he really struggled. We were wondering, where did Nick Foles go?
Yeah.
Who is this guy?
Sophomore slump.
Yeah, really. Big sophomore slump. But you know, Mark Sanchez, he had one or two good games, but at the end of the day, he went 4-4.
He's still Mark Sanchez.
He's still Mark Sanchez. He went 4-4 and cost us a playoff berth.
I think people need to remember, this guy is the mastermind behind the butt fumble. The fact that he won four games should be stellar.
Yeah. You know, it just the turnovers left, right, and center. Fumbles, interceptions, sacks.
Yeah.
I don't know how we won any games. I've been saying it. You know, we're an 8-8 team masquerading as a 10-6 team.
Yeah, and I think it showed the last 3-4 games of the season.
Yeah, it did. Other than that red, you know, or the Giants game where we won, you know, I hate to admit, I barely watched any of it. But, you know, at one point we had lost, what was it, 4 out of 5, I think?
They lost Seattle, they lost Dallas, they lost Washington. Oh, and Green Bay.
And Green Bay.
So, yeah, 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5, yeah.
Span.
Killed us.
Yep.
Killed us.
So what do you think for next year? What are your expectations heading into 2015?
Well, next year, I'm hoping Nick Foles will bounce back. My theory is that the offensive line caused a lot of issues up front. Nick Foles had trouble trusting in the offensive line, stepping into throws. He was making a lot of bad decisions because he was feeling pressure, whether it was there or not. It was inside his head. So I'm hoping Nick Foles will bounce back. I'm hoping the offense will start clicking again now with Jordan Matthews and Zach Ertz coming up through the ranks. Defense, I think there needs to be major changes on defense. I think we need two defensive backs, minimum. Probably another linebacker because Trent Cole and D'Amico Ryans are both getting old and banged up. So you're going to need another linebacker, and it's not Marcus Smith. I don't care what you say. It's not Marcus Smith. That's what I'm thinking for next year. In terms of where they're going to be record-wise, I'd say a similar record. Anywhere between 9-7 and, you know, 9-7, 10-6, around that range. I don't think they're much better than that as of right now. What do you think? What's your take on next season?
Next year for 2015, it's going to be an even tighter race, I think. But not with the Dallas Cowboys.
No?
I see an implosion happening with the Cowboys, I think.
Really?
Yeah. It's coming.
we can only hope.
I think a strong contender for 2015 next year is going to be the Giants.
Yes.
The Giants, the only reason they had a really bad record, that's the wine talking. The only reason they
had... Shabad record.
Shabad, yeah. Yeah. The only reason they had a really bad record this year was because of the injuries. They lost Cruz. They lost a lot of players on defense.
But now they have Odell Beckham. Line.
Now they've discovered Odell Beckham.
Oh, my God, did they discover him.
2015 is going to roll around. Eli Manning's going to have weapons. I'm telling you, I think
weapons like he's never had before, I think.
I think 2015 is going to be Giants are going to come to town.
I think the Eagles are going to have a tough time in 2015 because I think the Cowboys will eventually implode, but for 2015, I think they will stay at this level or similar.
And if it's all the passing game that the New York Giants get good at, that's all they need.
That's all they need.
Because our defense is still subpar.
Look, here's the issue in our division. You have Tony Romo and Dez Bryant, Eli Manning and Odell Beckham. And
these awesome quarterback and wide receiver tandems.
And RG3 isn't very good, but they have DeSean Jackson, who burned us for 250-yard receptions.
Yeah, that's all you need.
This is a problem, a big problem.
Yeah,
that we need to fix going into next year,
or else that's going to be 6 losses.
Yeah, I mean maybe 1-5. Maybe we'll beat the Redskins once.
Woo.
Hopefully, maybe we don't know. But the point is, it's going to be a struggle.
Yeah.
And whether through free agency or the draft, hopefully the draft, they need to address the secondary.
Yes. Or else I will go to Chip Kelly's house and be like,
Burn it down.
Yeah, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
So there you go. The Eagles 2014 season comes to an end. But the NFL season
rolls on.
Yeah, does not come to an end because we're about to come into view of the wonderful playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Yep. No,
well, we are talking
it's okay,
playoffs.
Jimora. Yep, it's time to talk about playoffs. And with that, it's time to get into our very special playoff Fantastic Four picks. Oh, yeah. We have different music when it's playoff time.
Oh, yeah. I love the change of pace, you know, with this.
Well, because now this is it. You know, you lose, you're out.
Exactly.
That simple.
Exactly.
So what's the first wild card game on the docket?
So let's just dive right into it. We have the fifth seed Arizona Cardinals traveling to Carolina to face off against the fourth seed Panthers, who snuck in at 7-8-1.
Didn't you make a proclamation that if the Carolina Panthers made it, you can't watch the playoffs?
I know not of what you speak, Rich.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough.
I said it was going to happen, didn't I?
Just as a record, both of the teams that tied that game are in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, you know what? Word I can't say right now to you.
All right. Okay.
But anyway, what do you think for this game? The Cardinals, who are sinking, facing off against the Roaring Panthers.
Yeah, I mean, for the Cardinals, all these injuries can't come at a worser time.
Yeah.
They're down to their fourth quarterback that they've played this year. They don't even have their starting running back. Their defense is banged up. I know, this is going to be weird. I think Carolina is actually going to pull this one out at home.
Damn you, you stole my pick. As much as it pains me to say it, but yes, the losing team with a tie,
a 7-8-1 record,
could win this game. Here's a stat. The Panthers have won their last four in a row.
They're turning it on at the right time.
They are peaking right as they're going into the playoffs. The Cardinals, we've been talking about their decline ever since they started getting quarterback
injuries.
Ever since
the backup quarterback got hurt.
Yeah, we were talking about how they, you know, at one point, weren't they like 9-1?
Yeah.
And they finished 11-5.
Right, there you go.
So they just tanked.
Yeah.
I got to go with the Panthers here. I really hate to say it, but I got to go with the Panthers. But you know what, though? My brother and our associate producer, John Bernard Costanzo, he still believes in the Cardinals.
Oh,
he's going with the fourth string quarterback.
Why not? And
the visiting Cardinals. So there you go.
All right.
Hey,
that would be funny if the Cardinals make it, because the Super Bowl's in Arizona this year.
Yeah, that would be cool. I don't think it's going to happen, but it would be cool.
It probably won't.
Next up, we have an awesome division rivalry playoff game as the Baltimore Ravens travel to Pittsburgh to face off against the Steelers. Rich, how do you feel about this one?
All right. I know the Steelers have some concerns with Le'Veon Bell, a hyperextension of his knee. But you know what? Ben Roethlisberger, he's been in this situation before. He's been playing very good football, very smart football. Hasn't given up a whole lot of turnovers. Steelers are going to be comfortable at home. Ravens have been pretty inconsistent. They'll go from one game that they should win and they blow it to a game that might be a 50-50 toss-up and they dominate. I don't like that kind of play in the playoffs. I'd say the Steelers are going to win this one.
Yeah, you know, I've been lukewarm on the Ravens all year. I don't think that they're that great, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, they literally snuck in.
They did.
The Chargers should be in their spot.
The Chargers really should.
Yeah.
But the Ravens, for whatever reason, they managed to make it in. But I don't think they can beat the Steelers. The Steelers, you know, again, it's all about when you're peaking. And the Steelers have been peaking as of late. So I got to go with the Steelers. And you know what? JB agrees. It's a sweep for the Steelers.
All right.
Next up, we have the fifth seed Cincinnati Bengals, that other tying team, visiting the Indianapolis Colts. Rich, how do you feel about this one?
Oh, my gosh. This is another one of just two very inconsistent teams. I mean, the Bengals go from, you know, one week, you know, choking a game to the next week, they beat the Patriots. I mean, they have another wild, you know, crazy swing.
They're both very mediocre is the issue that I have.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
And the Colts are the same way. They'll light up the board one night and then go against the Cowboys and put up a freaking zero.
Yeah. Not to mention that the Colts also play in an incredibly soft division.
Yeah.
With the Jags and, help me out here, the Jags.
Titans.
Right. And the Texans.
Yeah.
Were average.
So here's what I'm going to go with on this matchup. The quarterbacks. Do I trust Andy Dalton or do I trust Andrew Luck? Andy Dalton has been kicked out of the playoffs with, you know, with skill and with no mercy. I'm going to go with Indianapolis Colts. I think Andrew Luck finds a way with that offense.
Okay. You know, this one's a really tough one. On one hand, I don't like the way the Colts lied down and died against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I don't know if I can trust the Bengals.
Yep.
You know what? At the end of the day, I don't know.
I have to decide something.
I know I got to decide something. I'm on the spot here. You know what, though?
Uh-oh. You almost ran out of time.
You know what, though? I got to say, Andy Dalton, I agree with you. He's just not as good as he was last year.
No.
You know, and despite the Colts playing in a soft division, something is off about the Bengals with me.
Okay.
You know, the Colts at least have a really good offense. The Bengals, you can't really point to one aspect and say they're really good in this or really good in that. So for that reason, I think I might have to go with the Colts.
All right, what does Bruno say?
John Bruno says the Lions. The Lions. Bengals. I'm getting my cat teams mixed up.
Are you drunk?
Yes, I am.
All right.
We have so many cat teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, we do.
The Panthers, the Bengals, the Lions. But JB picks the... Yes, meow, thank you. We really are drunk. JB picks the Bengals as well.
I forgot about this. AJ Green might be out for this weekend coming up.
That's right.
He,
yeah.
He did suffer an injury.
A lot of questions surrounding that. But speaking of cat... Speaking of cat teams, yep. We're going to close this out with the Detroit Lions traveling to Dallas to face off against the Cow Bitches. I mean, the Cowboys.
Yes. was that the cue to me?
Yes.
All right. You know what? The Cowboys, they're going to be at home, which is actually working against them. All their losses have come at home. I know the Lions are going to lose Sue.
Yes,
because of the one-game suspension. But you know what? I'm going to say Detroit Lions somehow pull this off. I mean, they kept, for about two-thirds of that game, they were neck and neck with the Packers in that Week 17 showdown for the division. I think they're going to be angry and motivated by that loss. They're going to roll into Texas Stadium and give the Cowboys a surprise. I think Lions win this one.
Well, this is another tough one. On one hand, the Lions have one of the best run defenses in the league, and that's the Cowboys' strong suit is that run game with DeMarco Murray. But here's the thing. The Cowboys have a very balanced offense because they also have Dez Bryant and Jason Witten in that lineup. The Lions are going to be without Sue. I hate to say it, but a big part of the playoffs is when you peak, and the Cowboys are peaking. The Lions lost their last game. The Cowboys annihilated the Colts in their week 16. You know, they're flying high right now. I gotta pick the Cowboys. It pains me to say it, but I feel like the Cowboys are finally gonna get this monkey off their back and win a playoff game.
All right, and what does Bruno say?
John Bruno disagrees, though. He goes with the Lions. He agrees with you.
Ah,
yeah.
All right.
I hate to pick the Cowboys, but I don't know how I can.
All right, well, there you go. Those are fantastic four picks for the first week of the playoffs, the wild card round, to end the last fantastic four pick segment of 2014. Yeah, so there you go, coming to a close there. It'll be fun. I love
it
playoffs.
Be.
Playoffs are a great time.
You know, these are actually some good games. That they've got.
Yeah, the
Ravens and the Steelers it's a division rivalry.
Division rivalry plus both of those teams are pretty decent. Steelers,
right.
I think, are better. That's going to be a tough showdown.
Yeah, and the Lions Cowboys, you have a great defense and great offense. That's always a good matchup.
Yeah. Definitely keep an eye on the wild card football week as it unfolds. Saturday and Sunday games. Keep in mind that.
Yes, that's right. All weekend. Keep your eyes peeled and glued to the TV because it's nonstop football 24/7.
Yep, and every game matters. Whew, there you go. I think that'll conclude our last sports sampler of 2014. But that doesn't mean that it's the last bit that we've got.
No, not by a long shot. We have some awesome odd news coming up. We have the Non-Fortune Cookie Odd News Year in Review coming up.
Yeah, we've picked out the best of the best odd news of 2014. We've got a lot of hilarious stories that actually happened this year. I can't wait to go over them.
Oh, man. Everyone knows the odd news is my favorite segment, so an entire second half of the show devoted to it. I can't wait for it.
Yep. So don't go anywhere. The best of the odd news coming your way of 2014. We'll be right back. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A California man is accused of assaulting a woman while wearing a pink Barbie costume.
Of course.
The victim was using the restroom when the suspect entered her stall dressed like Barbie. I was looking and I saw 2 feet slowly planted on the floor and they were a man's bare feet. She noted that the suspect was wearing a Barbie outfit. Luckily, the victim fought back and managed to escape. Schwartz ran out soon after, and when a security guard tried to confront him, Schwartz allegedly threatened to stab him with a screwdriver.
That's very Barbie-like of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, they always have a Barbie for, like, every single job.
Yeah, there you go. Criminal assault Barbie.
Criminal assault Barbie.
In a criminal world, assaulting people in the bathroom.
I have a screwdriver. I'm gonna stab you in the eye.
Get out of my way. Need to make an escape.
Come on, Barbie. Let's do crime. This is criminal assault Barbie. Yeah, she comes with a removable screwdriver, but no shoes apparently.
No.
Doesn't know how to accessorize, I guess.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. This is it. I can't believe it. This last show of 2014. I'm starting to feel it.
Yeah, you know? I know. But you know what? We still have so much show to get to, Rich.
Yeah, that's
right.
I mean,
really, it's only one giant segment, but it's a huge segment.
Yeah. So huge that we're going to actually split it into two segments.
If we didn't, people would go crazy.
Yeah, we're not.
That's how amazing it is.
We're not actually going to have an entertainment entree. There's not really a whole lot of entertainment news really to go around, other than
it's between Christmas and New Year's. I mean, what's going on?
Yeah,
nothing's going on.
Other than the interview being released on YouTube,
which I watched.
Yeah, how was it?
Awful.
Oh wow.
I mean, it was okay. James Franco's character was awkward, and the laughs were just not there. I think the hype ruined it, honestly. And I can see why North Korea didn't appreciate it. Because if you didn't think Kim Jong-un was going to be in the movie, he was a major character in the movie, and they made him look so foolish. Praise the glorious leader.
Are you disappointed that your glorious leader wasn't represented?
I was highly offended. Praise the glorious leader. But the thing is, you have to remember, even if North Korea and Kim Jong-un are jokes, it's still an independent country with a standing, you know, the world... Their leader is still alive and well, and they're making a movie about killing him, you know? Praise the glorious leader.
So there you go, Mike.
I know, everything I say is going to sound pro-North Korea now. Praise the glorious leader.
So,
praise him.
Yep, there you go.
Praise the glorious leader.
Curse you, technology! All right, so there you go. Mike's 30-second review of the interview. All right, let's get into our best of odd news. I can't believe it.
I know.
Let's go over the crazy odd news that actually happened in 2014. All these stories that you will hear in the next hour or so are true and happened at some point in 2014, and we covered it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right here.
I mean, these are the stories that we couldn't cram into the Christmas special.
Yeah.
I mean, when we sat down to make the list for the Christmas special, we had a list of like 20-some stories.
Yeah, there's no way that can fit.
There was no way. So we picked the best of the best for the Christmas special. But this, now, is a retrospective of the rest of the Odd News of 2014. This is the Non-Fortune Cookie Odd News Year in Review.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders, go to the bathroom, because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Future is already here, so why don't we go get a beer?
Hobbits are horny. Horny as hobbits. It goes together. Should be a song.
I am a horny hobbit. Hoo-dah, hoo-dah. Oh, I have my horny and my horny hobbit goes. I have up in doubt. I have things in clouds. I have a horny hobbit and horny hobbit goes.
See what I mean? That is a hit.
Yep, there you go. A whole bunch of Gary Busey clips.
The interview had Lord of the Rings references in it.
All right, there you go.
Oh, wow, jeez.
All right, let's start off.
The
Non-Fortune Cookie Odd News Year in Review. That was 2014. What's the first batch of stories that we're going to go over?
Well, just like in the Christmas special, first up we have some crazy characters that we met during the Odd News in 2014.
That's our official category sound
effect. Is that
effect.
Our category sound effect?
Yep.
Oh, man. I love it. Right. So, starting things off, we got crazy characters.
All right. What's the first one?
And first up, we have the Swiss cheese pervert from episode 46.
This first story starts in Philadelphia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
This should be interesting then.
Have you heard of the Swiss cheese pervert?
What?
Well, no. Now you do.
The Swiss cheese pervert?
Yep. In Philadelphia, there's...
I'm thinking horrible, horrible thoughts right now.
Yep. In Philadelphia, there is a legend called the Swiss cheese pervert.
Why are we known for these things, people? all the other cities have like something great to be remembered by. I know the birthplace of the country, with independence and all that jazz. But then you go and you have people called the Swiss cheese pervert. Really? Guys, let's strive for something better, huh? Well, anyway, tell me, what did this Swiss cheese pervert do? I'm assuming something with Swiss cheese.
The suspect in question allegedly drives around Philadelphia exposing himself to women and offers them money to watch him put Swiss cheese on his privates.
Of course. All right, then.
And unfortunately, police have officially confirmed with Philadelphia Magazine that the Special Victims Unit is indeed investigating reports that there is a such man that exists and that a man with a major sexual cheese fetish, quote unquote, is wanted in Philadelphia.
Has he ever branched out to different cheeses like mozzarella, provolone? What about good old-fashioned American cheese? I mean, this is the birthplace of the country with Independence Hall, and you can't use American cheese. It has to be Swiss. The Swiss? Come on, I'm not so much outraged at what he's doing. The fact that he's using Swiss cheese.
Well, luckily for you...
Oh, God.
The newest headline from the Swiss cheese pervert is that someone found an old post from 2008 where the Swiss cheese pervert actually tried to look for a date on Philadelphia Craigslist. Do you want to hear what the Swiss cheese pervert is into?
I'm assuming cheese.
It's a good bet.
All right. So what did his profile read like?
All right. So this was his explanation on the Philadelphia Craigslist section for looking for a date.
Okay.
According to his post, he says, quote, "I have a big heart, and it was crushed time and again by the opposite sex. That and a very strong sex drive. Well, I'm lucky that I never became a rapist." He also does not.
What? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he also does not know how to write sentences. So this is interesting.
Oh, my God.
"My fetish grew out of desperation for sex with a woman. I started to compare girls to cheese to their milky complexions."
What the hell is wrong with this guy?
"Girls are soft, smooth feeling, and tend to like dairy products."
What? Tend to like dairy products? That person is, they like a lot of cheese and milk. They must be female.
Yeah, your first date with a girl, you show up with roses and milk.
And milk, yeah. "Here, baby, I got you a dozen roses and a wheel of provolone cheese." That's romance done right there.
I got.
I can't believe that.
I got the heavy cream. Yeah.
Got the, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So naturally, cheese is what I started to use as a replacement for girls.
All right. Then.
Obviously.
Okay.
Perfect.
Perfect. Makes complete sense.
But to answer your question, Mike, last sentence says, quote, I tried many different kinds of cheese, but I settled on Swiss as the best.
It has holes in it.
First and foremost, if ever a picture of cheese is used, it's most likely Swiss cheese, but also because of the eye patterns, the texture, and the way it feels on my privates.
Wow. Wow. I can't. He posted this to a public website?
On Philadelphia Craigslist, yep.
Oh my god, he probably got responses to it too.
The Swiss cheese pervert is described as a heavyset male, 40 to 50 years old, and just running around the streets of Philadelphia right now.
Look, it's an old guy with cheese on his junk. I mean, really? There's no science to this description. It's an old dude with cheese on his junk. That's all you gotta know.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just boggled by this guy. Just, why cheese? It just doesn't make any sense. His explanations did not help either.
No.
Women like dairy products.
Girls are soft, smooth feeling and tend to like dairy products. Don't you know that, Mike?
There are a lot of things that are soft and smooth, but he picks cheese. I mean, come on, really?
The next date I go on, I also got to remember to pick up some, you know, half and half.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
The salted caramel half and half. Oh.
I got 2% milk, baby.
Yeah, none of that 1% crap. Yeah.
Skim milk. Get the hell out of my house.
This is grounds for divorce. You bring skim milk into my house.
Sir, why are you divorcing this woman?
Well, you see, she brings skim milk home. Skim milk! Out of all the milks! There's like 5 or 6 different types. There's chocolate and 2% and 1%, but she brings skim.
What kind of cheese does she bring home? It's all about the cheese.
That's the worst part. She brings that fake orange individually wrapped slices one. She doesn't bring the Swiss. Which is what I really crave. I crave the Swiss. I need the Swiss.
Oh. Divorce accepted.
Is that how divorces actually work?
Yeah.
Divorce accepted.
I'm too busy. I gotta get to my golf game, alright?
They ask exactly 2 questions, both of them about milk and cheese.
Yep. That's how it works. That's how it works in Judge Liebig's court.
Wow.
So, here's the update from last week. Folks, it is okay. You can be safe in Philadelphia. The Swiss cheese pervert has been arrested.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
It's okay.
And you can go get dairy products without fear of this guy striking.
That's right. The suspect that was dubbed the Swiss cheese pervert was arrested Thursday for allegedly committing indecent acts with dairy products in the Philadelphia area.
I love the political correctness. Indecent acts. He's having sex with Swiss cheese.
Yeah, we gotta be formal here, Mike.
Oh, sorry.
Folks, don't worry. The Swiss cheese pervert has been arrested for committing indecent acts with dairy products. Can't you imagine, like, you know, Walter Cronkite reading this news? Philadelphia police served 41-year-old Christopher Pagano with a warrant at his Norristown home. Which, by the way, had to be Norristown.
Yeah, Norristown.
My area, my neck of the woods, really, Norristown. Well, he was officially arrested. He's accused of offering to pay women to put Swiss cheese on his privates and perform sexual acts right in the middle of Philadelphia.
Wait. Hold on. He offered to pay women.
Yeah.
So the women would put the cheese.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
gotcha.
Yeah. It's prostitution, actually.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that is kind of
weird. Very weird, but it's technically prostitution.
Wow. The things you learn.
When the news story broke on the Swiss cheese pervert, there was a Facebook page that asked for watching out for him. Women commented that about several incidents that also occurred where there was a Swiss cheese pervert believed to be on site. One woman commented that, quote, I've seen a guy like this. This guy has been doing stuff like this for years.
How do you get away with this for years?
Another one said, quote, he is online and at bars at Frankfurt Avenue. A few years ago, he walked up to a couple of friends of mine and asked them to help him with his cheese. And oh then he pulled God. Down his pants.
Wow.
That's weird. How do you walk up to somebody and be like, hey, can you help me with my cheese?
That is first off, that's a weird request to begin with.
Yeah.
And then he drops his pants. It makes it even weirder.
If you remember last week, he posted on the Philadelphia Craigslist, quote, I started to compare girls to cheese due to their milky complexion.
Oh, I remember that.
Girls are soft, smooth feeling, and tend to like dairy products. And so cheese is what I started to use as a replacement for having sex with girls.
Wow.
And that's how he became known as the Swiss cheese pervert. But don't worry, folks. He has been arrested and apprehended.
Thank God.
Yeah. So quick update on that odd news story from last week.
So now the public is safe.
Your cheese is safe.
And the cheese is safe.
Everything's okay.
You can take your cheese out of hiding now, folks.
Yeah. It's okay.
Oh, I can't believe that was a local story.
Yep, right in Norristown, of course, out of all the places in Philadelphia, had to be my backyard, Norristown.
Yeah, I think the most local story we've ever had.
Yeah.
When you think about
thanks,
it.
Thanks, Swiss cheese pervert. What a way to kick off the year.
Oh, next up, we have Not a Finger for a Parking Spot, episode 52.
All right, you're not going to believe this next one.
Well, I don't believe any of them, but...
Well, you're not going to believe this one because this happened in our own backyard.
What?
This happened at the Cherry Hill Mall in New Jersey. Yeah, this is not that far away. This is, I'd say about a 35-minute commute
if you
wanted to go to this mall.
We're used to hearing about stories from Texas and Florida and Russia.
No, this one's in our own backyard.
Oh, God. How bad is it?
Well, here you go. A woman who wanted to go shopping at the Cherry Hill Mall in New Jersey on Saturday... almost lost her finger during a fight about a parking spot.
Not a finger!
That is the perfect clip. That is the perfect clip for this story. That's it. Story over.
Not a finger! Not a finger!
Oh, that's amazing.
Well, here's the...
No, wait. How do you... She almost lost a finger fighting over a parking spot.
Yeah, let's go over the story.
Okay.
Police responded to the mall parking lot after getting a call about a parking dispute between two drivers. The victim, Tanya Knight Joseph, pulled into a spot that the other woman had been eyeing. She said, as soon as I got out of the car, she started calling me the... bitch. She got this close to my face... and her nose touched my nose. She was yelling and screaming, and then she hit me in the face. When I put my hands up to defend myself, I suffered the consequences. All of a sudden, I must have been pushing the initial attacker away because she bit down on my finger and proceeded to chomp.
Not a finger!
Ow. But over a parking space, really?
Yep.
You mean you're telling me this lady took the time to get out of her car, get face to face with this lady, and proceed to start eating her finger when she could have just driven to a different parking spot?
Yep.
The logic of these people is astounding sometimes.
She said, by the time I looked at it, my finger was hanging off by a little piece of skin.
Oh, man. Ew.
Not a finger!
Really? It's not a finger at that point.
I called 911 and I followed her into Nordstrom's.
That's the best part of the story. You just cannibalize a woman's finger and then you go to Nordstrom to buy high-end, you know, clothing and stuff.
I gotta continue my shopping.
Yeah, I gotta get on with it. So wait. So she bites a woman's finger off and then she's like, you know what? Wait, did she park the car? Or did she just leave the car where it was?
I don't know. At some point.
This is a very... So, you're telling me... I'm interested in the series of events. She sees... I see you park. And you stole my spot. Oh, I hate you. So, I drive down. I park. I get out. I run over to you. I start fighting you. I bite your finger off.
And then I just leave?
Yeah, and then we
just go to Nordstrom.
Yeah, then we head into Nordstrom.
And go shopping.
Yeah.
Really? That is the weirdest series of events I've ever heard of.
Well, apparently, Lieutenant Army Winters of the Cherry Hill Police responded to the scene, and she says this is a very big deal. The injury went through to the bone.
The bone
was actually fractured, and the finger was nearly severed.
The
police are currently filing an aggravated assault claim on the woman.
Well, good.
And Knight Joseph is waiting to find out if part of her finger will have to be amputated. It might not be saved.
Not a finger!
Yeah, it won't be a finger anymore.
It's a stub.
Oh.
I mean, you know, that really sucks that she's going to lose a finger just because some bitch couldn't walk an extra 10 feet.
Yeah.
Really?
But
I mean, come on.
There you go.
God, that pisses me off. Just like kicking the cat. You're going to cross this poor woman her finger just because you wanted a parking
spot.
Not
a finger!
Can't help but laugh at that. That is amazing.
You gotta love a Christmas story whenever I can relate it here.
It's the best.
Not a finger!
New Jersey woman losing finger over a parking spot brawl.
Jersey, I guess that explains it. I always try and get a Jersey jab in there.
Yeah, you always jab Jersey at some point.
It's, I'm sorry. We do it out of love, Jersey. Not really. No, I'm kidding. You're cool. You got beaches and stuff.
That is not that far, though. Cherry Hill Mall.
It's not.
That's practically Philadelphia. You just got to go over the bridge.
Yeah, and if you're hungry for fingers. I can't believe that. She bites her. She parks the car, tracks her down, bites her finger, and then goes shopping.
Yeah, no big deal.
With blood and bone and flesh. She's, is it like a little snack? Is she like munching like, nom, nom, nom. Yeah, I'll take this one.
Get over it.
Get over it. God, it's just a measly finger.
Speaking of not a finger, I love the 24-hour Christmas story marathon.
Yeah.
I don't watch it.
I
don't care that it's on 24 hours. At some point, I will sit down and watch it twice.
Yeah. Some people, though, commit blasphemy and say it's not very funny. To those people, I say, screw you.
And not a finger!
Yes!
Don't even raise a finger. Don't even put your finger on the clicker to change the channel during the 24 hours of A Christmas Story.
Damn straight.
Not a finger!
Not a finger!
All right, let's get to the next character. I love this one. Folks, Failed Inception Lady, episode 65. Well, how about we just go to an amazing circumstance of luck?
Okay.
An Alabama woman was completely unhurt, even though she was run over by a train.
What? How's that possible? Trains are, if I'm correct, really big and really fast.
Yep. According to Auburn police, 22-year-old Lindsay Horn fell asleep on railroad tracks.
What? What? You know, she had God in her blood, too. Hey, wait, what are the events preceding that? You're just walking down the street, you're like, I'm really tired. I think I'm going to take a nap on the railroad tracks.
It looks like a comfy spot.
It looks like, yeah, all that gravel and wood and steel.
And iron.
And iron. It looks perfect. So she decided to take a nap on the railroad track. That's incredible right there.
Yep.
Wow. So one, why? And two, what happened next? I'm assuming she got hit by the train next.
Well, according to Auburn police, 22-year-old Lindsay Horn fell asleep on the railroad tracks. But when the train passed over her, she was apparently very low to the ground, and the train passed right over her without hitting her.
Wow.
So she also must have been a very small lady, too.
Yeah, she must have been, like, in between the rails, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Although, I don't know, you might want to use the rail as a pillow, like they did in Inception. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, was she trying to be...
I'm waiting for a train, but I fell asleep. That should be how the movie goes.
Wouldn't that really throw a wrench into the whole limbo thing?
What happens
if you fall asleep in limbo while waiting for the train?
We're waiting for a train.
Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio is giving his whole speech. We're waiting for a train. We don't know where it'll take us. Hey, wake up over there.
if you're asleep while you get killed,
what happens?
Yeah. Does it kneel each other out and nothing happens and you're still stuck in limbo?
You wake back up on the train tracks?
Yeah, what happens?
This is the worst dream ever.
Yeah. Jeez.
So, all right. So, failed Inception lady was taking a nap and the train passed over her.
Yep. Police say that Horn's slight frame kept her from getting injured.
But why was she sleeping on the railroad tracks in the first place? These are the questions.
Well, don't worry. I've got your answer here.
Thank God.
Horn was charged with disorderly conduct for causing a disruption because the train had to be stopped and an ambulance needed to be called in case she was hurt.
But the train passed over her.
Well, they still had to check her out.
But the train was already gone.
Did we hit somebody? Was there somebody underneath that train?
Was there a tiny lady on the tracks, or am I imagining things? Why are we talking that way? Oh, God. I think I know who this is.
Yeah, Buckeye Chuck here.
Buckeye, what did you have to do with this story?
I was driving the train.
So now you're a train conductor, too.
Yeah, that's what I do in the 3 weeks that I haven't talked to you.
You got a license to drive trains?
Yes.
Wow.
It was a very quick procedure.
Apparently.
And I was driving this train, and there was some chick laying down. I thought she was a squirrel.
Thought she was a squirrel.
Yeah, so I just continued.
You didn't want to stop to make sure you didn't hit her?
No, I thought it was just a little squirrel. I hit dozens of squirrels all the time.
You're a monster, Buckeye Chuck.
No, I'm just driving the train. And before I knew it, it turns out my co-pilot said, hey, that was a lady.
I think this is the longest conversation we've ever had, Buckeye Chuck.
Yeah, that bell keeps ringing.
That's Buckeye Chuck.
It's 14 o'clock. The bell won't stop.
Buckeye Chuck was driving that train.
Yeah.
Well, here you go, Mike. Here's the answer to your question.
So why was she sleeping on the railroad track?
She was intoxicated.
Of course. So, you see, she had gotten her veins, too.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, my God.
She was charged with public intoxication as well as the disorderly conduct for causing a disruption.
I love how she gets in trouble for almost being hit by a train. It's like, oh, thank God you're alive. Now here is your citation.
Yeah, congratulations.
Congratulations on not dying, and we'll see you in court.
And we'll see you in limbo.
I also want to make having God in your veins a euphemism for being intoxicated. So far, that's two stories.
Yeah.
Well, the one didn't have anything to do with God, but I forced it in there.
Well, go ahead. Try and use that as your latest.
I will.
Your latest drunk term.
Okay.
Apparently you can survive getting run over by a train.
Who knew?
How did she not wake up, though? A train is roaring over her. Trains are really loud. They blow horns. They rattle. They scream and screech and squeal. And she didn't wake up?
Nope.
Talk about bumping your head when you wake up. Ouch. Anytime you can bring up Inception is always...
You don't even get to finish your sentence.
Yeah, exactly. That's how they use that sound effect in the movie, too.
Yeah.
Oh.
Anytime we can pull out the Inception sound effect, I'm happy. There you go. Had to bring that one up. A great story. So that'll do it for the crazy characters of 2014. What's our next category that we've got in the best of the odd news year in review?
Well, next up, you know, sometimes there's good logic, but that's not the case for the odd news.
No, we can't have good logic.
Of course. So in the odd news, we have people that have notoriously bad logic. And these are stories where all logic just goes out the window and you just have to wonder, what were they thinking?
Yeah. You know what? You can say that for most of these stories.
Yeah.
But these are awesome.
But these next two stories, especially. This one in particular. I don't even know where to begin with this. We have...
Just say it.
Crack Ho Mother's Day, episode 63.
All right, let's put all that hoopla aside. Let's get to the next story here.
That sounds good.
And it is our obligatory Florida story.
All right.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
You gotta love good old Florida.
Yep. Well, a Florida prosecutor had to issue an apology after a Mother's Day Facebook post went public in which he said, quote, "Happy Mother's Day to all the crack hoes out there."
What? are you serious?
Yep.
How did this go out by mistake?
This is what happens in Florida.
Jesus Christ.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
I was not expecting... That's the last thing I was expecting.
Yep.
So, all right, so who sent out this message?
Assistant State Attorney Kenneth Lewis admitted that he used, quote, a poor choice of words...
In his, are you serious?
...in his Mother's Day posting.
What was the wording again?
Here's the full post.
Okay.
Happy Mother's Day to all the crack hoes out there. It's never too late to tie your tubes, clean up your life, and make a difference to someone out there that deserves a better mother.
What the hell is wrong with this guy? Bad choice of words. The whole post was... What? I can't believe... What?
Yep.
Oh my God. I was, of all the things I was expecting, it just kept getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
Happy Mother's Day to all the crackos out there.
Yep.
Look, when you, all right, here's a piece of information. When you start a message with Happy Mother's Day to all the crackos out there, it's not a good start.
These hoes, they think they classy. Well, that's the class I'm skipping.
Yeah, that's not a good way to start off your Mother's Day post.
No. Or any post.
Assistant State Attorney Kenneth Lewis said that, "I am sorry to those I unintentionally offended." After
unintentionally offended? For yep. Christ's sake! You're calling them crack hoes, and you're telling them to get their tubes tied and be a better person. How's that? There's no way that can be misinterpreted.
After he issued the apology, Lewis went on to say that his message had been misinterpreted.
No.
That is a direct quote.
How? How is that misinterpreted? He meant crack hoe in the loving way, right?
Yeah. To my dear crack hoe.
My dearest crack hoe.
To my dear crack hoe, who I love so much, please have a fine and festive Mother's Day.
I'm dying.
Love, Rich. Like, what the hell? How are you supposed to end that?
Oh, my God.
I can't believe you said that. That's literally what he said.
This guy is an idiot. Oh, my God.
Lewis says that his message had been, quote, misinterpreted, and said that, quote, the media... is covering this too much for the post that was generated.
This guy has no perception of reality.
Nope. He said, quote, "I believe if the media truly cared about the people they accused me of offending, they would do stories about people on crack, not me. I use hyperbole, sensationalism, to get reaction from people to start discussing. I really do not mean this." End
well,
quote.
He probably could have worded it just a tiny bit better, wouldn't you
then,
say?
Then Happy Mother's Day to all the crack hoes out
the
there.
Crack hoes.
Oh, my God.
These hoes, they think they classy. Well, that's the class I'm skipping.
I can't believe you said that. That's literally what he said. Literally. My message has been misinterpreted.
I'm losing my voice here.
Happy Mother's Day to all the crack hoes out there. Sure, that'll fly. That's all right. All right. Okay.
I don't know what in his mind made him think that sounded like a good idea.
Happy Mother's Day to all the crack hoes out there.
Oh, boy. Oh, I'm always at a loss for words with that one.
Yeah, don't write that on your Facebook post.
No, no, don't do that.
Yep.
Oh, again, bad logic, people.
Also, speaking of bad logic and bad communication, I think our next story is appropriate. Folks, you might have had some pretty horrible exes, but this story took the cake. Folks, this is The Worst Ex-Girlfriend Ever, episode 68. I'm going to go with the epitome of not giving up.
Oh, all right.
All right. And this story is actually a fan-submitted one.
A fan-submitted story?
Yeah. So I have to, before I read this story, I got to give a sausage shout-out to Amy, who sent this story in.
Sausages!
Yeah, all right. She gets a sausage shout-out.
Awesome.
Sausages!
And I got the email on this, and I fact checked it. You know, I want to make sure that's a real story.
Right, of course.
And it is, and it's a good one.
This is
probably one of the best fan-submitted ones ever. So props to Amy. You deserve the sausage shout-out.
Sausages!
And here we go. Let's read this one. A New Mexico woman was finally arrested by officers of the Albuquerque Police Department in what could be the most extreme case of stalking ever recorded in the history of the United States.
Oh, boy. This sounds interesting.
Yeah, talking about not giving up.
Yeah.
We're serious here. The 28-year-old woman allegedly not only called her ex-boyfriend a formidable 77,000 times in a week.
What?
But also sent him 2,000 emails, 41,000 text messages, 200 sung messages, and 650 written letters in the same week period.
Oh, my God.
Talk about obsessive. Let that sink in for a moment.
What the hell?
You think you've had a stage 5 clinger? This is a stage 100 clinger.
Did she do anything other than write messages?
Apparently not.
What'd you say? 20 some messages? What was that one?
70. Wait. You're talking about the messages?
Yeah.
41,000 text messages, 200 singing messages, whatever
singing
that
messages.
Is.
What the hell?
And 650 handwritten letters.
Oh my God. That's
yeah.
obscene. Okay, hold on. Wait. 650 handwritten letters?
Yep.
In a week?
In a week.
That's 92 letters a day. What the hell? I couldn't write that fast if I had like four hands.
Hell, maybe it's in my ultimate form!
And wait, oh my God, she called 70, did you say 77,000 times?
Yep.
That's 1,000 times a day, isn't it? No, 11,000 times a day.
Yep.
I can't do the math.
So she repeatedly just hit the call button, just the redial button, just over and over and over again.
All right, hold on. I got to write down these numbers. 11,000.
This is madness!
Madness.
This is Sparta!
This is stalking!
That is stalking.
Linda Murphy, who has a history of obsessive-compulsive disorder, took her breakup with William Ryan badly.
She had obsessive-compulsive disorder?
Yeah.
Couldn't tell. Couldn't tell at all. She was hiding it very well.
Are you ready for the kicker?
Hold on, wait. You mean the kicker isn't the fact that she called 11,000 times a day and wrote 650 letters in 1 week? There's still a kicker?
Yep.
Okay.
They were only dating for 3 weeks.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ, what is that, like 4 or 5 dates and like 11,000 letters later?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Hell, maybe it's in my ultimate form!
Jeez.
Assuming direct control.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, this is like the Reaper became your girlfriend or something.
That.
Assuming direct control.
That poor guy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I feel so bad for him.
All right. Oh, here we go. We're going to answer your question, Mike.
Okay.
So how did she get...
much paper?
How did she get how did she get 77,000 calls in a week?
She is accused of using three different cell phones once to call him on a nonstop loop 24 hours a day.
Oh, my God.
And called his cell phone number, his home number, and his work phone number.
Oh, my God.
The woman also ingested large quantities of energy drinks and amphetamines to remain awake and gone sleepless the whole week.
Oh, my God. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Don't make me assume my ultimate form!
Oh, my God.
She literally didn't sleep while she was going on this messaging binge?
Nope. She was on energy drinks and amphetamines.
Oh, my God. I can just picture this, like, crazed woman just twitching as she's, like, furiously writing and typing and calling at the same time.
Yep.
Talk about multitasking. That's actually really impressive.
Don't make me assume my ultimate form!
Assuming direct control.
Oh my God. Three phones, 650 letters. I mean, oh my God. What was her phone bill like?
Yeah.
How much paper did she buy? The local staples must have been like, what the hell is this person planning? She just brought 50 reams of paper.
She just bought a crate of paper.
I had to take her out back and give her the whole pallet.
She needed a bobcat to go home.
This is madness.
Madness.
This is...
stalking. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Do you want to hear the lawyer?
So wait, the lawyer, what's he gonna say? Like, this is perfectly reasonable behavior.
No. The lawyer of the guy.
The lawyer of the guy. He's advising his client to murder the woman.
The lawyer of the guy says, quote, "My client is profoundly relieved that the woman is finally behind bars. He literally hasn't been able to
become a monk."
Yeah, that's it. He's going to become a priest now. He's had enough of women.
Forget being a priest. He's going to be a monk. He's going to take a vow of silence, a vow of chastity, a vow of poverty. He's getting the hell away from here. He's going to, like, take up a little stone cave in some godforsaken island.
Yeah, he doesn't need this anymore.
Oh, my God.
My client hasn't been able to sleep, work, or enjoy life in any way for the past week.
This is the funniest thing.
It is about time that this harassment has finally ceased. Oh, my God.
Oh, I wonder... Do you think her first phone call from Jim was to him? You got one phone call. Okay. She calls him one last time.
Well, the judge has ordered a psychological evaluation of the woman.
Really? Well, thank God for that. I thought this was normal behavior, Rich. You're telling me this is abnormal? She's going to have a disease named after her.
The psychological evaluation of the woman is to determine whether or not she's capable of even standing trial.
Oh, don't tell me she's going to get away with this because she's going to plead insanity.
Well, she could.
Hold on, wait. You gotta give me these numbers.
Look at the numbers again.
I gotta write down these numbers. Oh my God, Jesus! I just cannot fathom these numbers.
Yep.
Don't make me assume my ultimate form.
Yep, that actually happened.
I know, it's just so infuriating.
Somebody had that much time.
Yeah. Where do you find the time to do all that?
I don't know.
I don't get it. But that's why it's bad logic and bad communication skills, as you pointed out.
Yeah.
Both those stories, actually. Bad communication skills.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? Bad communication skills sometimes makes for a weird workplace situation, which leads us into our next category, wacky workplaces. And the first wacky workplace we have is a funeral home. Not just any funeral home, but a funeral home drive-thru, episode 79.
In Saginaw, Michigan, most people these days lead very busy lives. That's one reason owners of a local funeral home have officially decided that you can make your final goodbyes a little more convenient to those left behind, because the funeral home now offers
a drive-through window.
What? How is that even? What? How? So, like, you drive up and, like, do you like, there's a window and you can just, like, wave to the body? Like, hey! Bye, Uncle Bob! Zoom! Just... Well, I don't know why I made the car sound like a spaceship. Zoom. There we go. That's better. Honk, honk. Do you place an order?
This is Funeral Home Emporium. Can I take your order?
Yes, I'd like one viewing.
One viewing. Do you want fries with that?
Well, I'm glad you asked how this happens, because we have a audio clip of how this works.
Is there really an ordering thing?
No, it's not an ordering thing, but it's just a little
explanation
of how this works.
All right.
So let's play the clip.
Ivan Phillips is president of Paradise Funeral Chapel. He's getting a lot of flack from people upset about this, a drive-through window. But this drive-through is not for fast food or banking. He's using it for drive-by visitations.
When you enter the drive-through, you're going to drop a memorial in the memorial box, sign the register book, drive forth, and you will be able to sit in the privacy of your vehicle for 3 minutes.
Phillips says he wants to bring something to Saginaw that has never been here before. Paradise is providing this drive-through option to families at no additional charge. It's designed to allow more people to see someone who has passed away, even if they can't make the traditional visitation because of work, disability, or other challenges.
That would be an after-hour visitation to the family if they choose to do so.
Anyone can drive up and pay their respects to the deceased. Meanwhile, Phillips says the design, which uses sensors to open and close the curtains when cars pull up and leave, cost more than $300,000. He believes it's well worth it, saying everyone should have the option of drive-through visitation.
Most people, what they need to do is experience before they actually put the negativity out there.
So there you go. That's the step-by-step procedure.
I am incredibly fascinated by this concept. So a car pulls up. They drop in, like what, a donation? And then sign a book?
Yeah.
And then they, like, drive over a sensor that opens curtains?
Yeah.
And what, and they have, like, the body propped up on a stake or something?
The casket's laid out right there.
Okay. Like where? Like, next to the car? In front of the car?
To the left of the car. Right to the driver's seat.
And you just sit there and stare at the body. You're like, yes, okay.
Oh, yes.
This was well worth the $5 extra meal.
Excellent work with the body.
Yes. And you sit there for 3 minutes?
Yeah, and you only get 3 minutes. That's it.
3 minutes. That's it.
You're holding up the line. Come on.
Beep, beep. Come on. Get a move on. I'll have a large. Wait, this isn't McDonald's. I can just see. You know what would be funny is people just stopping by, like random passerbys. Like. No, really, because it would cater to like that like weird crowd that likes the macabre stuff, you know, and just go in and just like just to look at a dead body,
yeah,
right? Don't you think like people like just random strangers would go through the drive thru and say, "Oh, who's on display Thursday?" You know,
what's this funeral home's name? Paradise Hello, Paradise Funeral Chapel. What's your schedule for this week? You've got one Monday, Wednesday. Oh, I can't make the one on Friday.
Yeah, it's like movie times.
Yeah.
What time are your showings? I'll have 2 to 5 o'clock. This is very, very strange.
Yep. As cars pull up to the drive-through, curtains move back after a sensor in the ground has detected a vehicle's weight. The manager of the funeral home, Charisse Phillips, says that the drive-through will offer protection from inclement weather and comfort for the disabled.
Okay.
But if you're already at the location, aren't you there? Like,
yeah, really?
You've made it out to the actual funeral home. You might as well just go in.
It's so impersonal, too.
Yeah.
Like, you obviously didn't really care about the person if you get in a drive-through to pay your respects. That is more insulting than not showing up. I know, really. If you don't show up, it's like, you know, I have something that I can't get out of. But if you go to the drive-through, that's like, really? You showed up? You sat in your car for 3 whole minutes, but you couldn't walk in, shake my hand, and won?
Yeah.
Come on. Come on now. Nobody says you have to stay at a viewing for like 2 hours. You can just stop in, pay your respects, and then and then leave. Same as a drive-thru, except you gotta, God forbid, get out of the car.
Oh.
There's 15 steps that's gonna make or break my day.
Yeah, those that, you know, Michigan has some horrible snow.
Yeah. So, why are you out on the road in the first place then? But I don't, this is just crazy. This yep. is the strangest thing I've ever heard of.
Yep, and it's a true story actually happening in Michigan. And so if you want to check it out for yourself, you can Google it.
We should go to Michigan.
We're going to do a live episode of the Crispy Noodle right in front of the drive-thru.
No. We're here at the drive-thru funeral parlor. That's horrible. Yeah. But I also am kind of interested in this in a weird way. Although it cost $300,000 to put it in.
Yeah, I think he might be regretting that decision.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
I don't think that's going to make that money back ever. Probably.
No, probably not.
Oh, boy. I kind of want to visit one of those places just to see what it's like.
Yeah, I bet you it's still open. I bet you.
Probably. I don't know. We should. Well, you know, we'll just have to go and check it out.
Yeah. Business will still be there on display. So,
oh, God, we're
check
bad.
Check it out.
Oh.
All right, let's get to this one. This one was one of my favorite stories that we've done all year. And it just brought us one of the best excuses ever to use, you know, if you need to get out of a jam. Because this segment is the weirdest work excuses actually used in 2014, episode 84. The website Career Builder puts together a study of this year's most unbelievable excuses for calling in sick.
Oh, okay.
And I have in my hand the top 10 weirdest reasons for employees calling in sick.
Okay.
All right. Before we get into it, just some interesting stats that were found out with the study.
Okay.
One in four employers have caught an employee faking sick through social media. So, just, you know, rule of thumb, if you're going to play hooky, don't post it on Facebook.
People hit it, liked it, loved it, did all the things that Facebook does.
That's usually a good rule of thumb.
Yeah. LOL, got out of work, hashtag stupid boss.
Yeah.
At boss.
And one in five have fired an employee for calling in sick with a fake excuse.
Wow.
So, people are losing their jobs because of this.
Don't get caught calling out sick to play the latest Call of Duty.
Yep. But here it is. I have the top 10 weirdest reasons.
Okay.
not even anything else. Just, hey, meth. Boss, I can't come in. Meth.
Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth.
Part of my religion.
Damn it, I was going to say that.
Part of my religion, right?
Part of my religion, yep.
All right, well, here we go. Are you ready for our top 10 weirdest reasons for calling in sick?
Yes.
All right, number one, quote, I just put a casserole in the oven.
That's it?
Yep, that's it. I can't leave the house now. I'm stuck here.
Wait, is this like a regular 9-to-5 job? I just stuck my casserole in the oven at like 8:30 in the morning?
Yep, I can't leave now.
I put my casserole in like 10 hours ahead of time. How long do casseroles take to cook?
I have no idea, but apparently this one's a serious one.
Yeah, apparently. All right.
All right, next one. I need plastic surgery for purposes having to do with... Oh, wait, no, I thought it was twerking.
What?
It's late at night. It's late at night. I'm reading this the wrong way.
Mr. Smith, but I need to twerk. Yeah. It's my true calling.
No.
For purposes of twerking. I need the twerk enhancement, doctor, please.
Nope. The number two reason, I have plastic surgery for enhancement purposes that need some tweaking to get it just right.
Okay. The twerking one was better.
All right. Here's our next one.
Okay.
Quote, well, I was sitting in the bathroom and my feet and my legs fell asleep. Then when I stood up, I fell and I broke my ankle.
Really?
Yep.
Come on.
Yep.
Oh, I don't believe that one.
I love how you have to start off with, I was in the bathroom, yeah. Really?
Taking a crap.
Yeah.
It was a big one. I was reading a book. Got yep. through chapter 5.
I was reading the Bible.
I was reading the Bible. The meth Bible.
got through all of Walter White's chapters.
Yeah. Just started on the first letters of Jesse to Walter White.
Yeah.
All right. You ready for our next one?
Yes.
Quote, I was at the casino all weekend, and I still have money to, left to play, so I have to keep going.
Really? Wow.
I have to keep going. I'm on a hot streak.
I have a feeling that...
You don't leave a hot table, Mike.
I have a feeling that those people got fired.
Yeah. You don't leave a hot table, Mike.
Right, of course. Even though you could hypothetically earn just as much money going to work and actually working, you know, yeah, and not risk losing the money.
Well, whatever.
Well, whatever. I'm a risk taker, damn it.
All right, here's the next one. I woke up in a good mood and I don't want to ruin it.
I like that one.
Yeah.
That person's just honest.
Yep. Nope, I'm not going to ruin it with work. Sorry.
Yeah, that's how everybody feels.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm in a good mood.
See ya.
You're on your own. Yep. All right. The next one, number 6 on the list. Quote, I had a lucky night and I don't know where I am.
That's a valid excuse.
Oh, baby, you're in trouble. Into the dungeon you go.
Yeah, you know, maybe yeah, you don't have a change of clothes, you forgot your briefcase, you know.
And you don't know where you are.
You don't know where you are, yeah. I'm in a different state.
I woke up, I'm in Jersey. What? All right, number 7 on the weirdest excuses for a sick day. Quote, I'm stuck in the blood pressure machine at the grocery store, and I can't get out.
I think his blood pressure's a little high.
Yeah.
It's eating my arm.
What do I do?
You know, those machines have always terrified me because the thing is, if you do get nervous and your blood pressure, you know, rises, you know, won't it, like, get tighter and tighter?
Well, there you go. Somebody actually used it as an excuse to miss a day of work.
Wow. Do they even make those things anymore?
Yeah, they're at grocery stores.
I haven't seen one.
I've seen them.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have to go check it out then.
Just don't get stuck in one.
Well, why? It's a good excuse. You should try that one, Rich.
Oh, yeah. They'll really believe me.
They'll carry the blood pressure machine to where I work.
They'll hack it out of the wall and yeah, drag it over.
Yeah.
All right, number 8. I have a gallstone, but I want it to heal holistically.
So that means just sit around and BS and wait for it to go away.
Yeah, right.
All
right,
awesome.
Hey, it's my religion.
This is religion, yeah.
There you go.
That's going to be the new catchphrase. Hey, it's my religion.
Yeah. What do you want me to do?
I belong to a religion where I actually don't have to work, so
I, you know, I have to call out sick indefinitely.
Hey, it's my religion.
Yeah.
Can't do anything about it. But you still have to pay me. That's part of my religion, yeah, too. My religion is that you give me a briefcase filled with money.
Yep.
All right, number 9. Quote, my uniform is on fire because I put it in the microwave to dry after the laundry was done.
What? How dumb are you? Put it in the microwave. Don't they have a dryer? I guess not.
I guess the microwave was going to be the express dry.
The express dry. Oh my god! Some people should not be allowed to own appliances.
Yeah, if you're putting your uniform in the microwave.
Oh boy.
All right, and number 10, the last one on the list. Are you ready for the last weirdest excuse for calling in sick?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Quote, I accidentally got on a plane this morning.
What? I woke up, got dressed, you know, I got showered, got dressed, I left my apartment, and next thing you know, I'm flying across the ocean.
Yeah, you know, I rolled out of bed right into a plane.
Yeah. Waited in security for 2 hours, waited in the terminal for another hour, boarded my plane last because I bought a really cheap ticket, and now I'm flying, and it just all happened.
Yeah. Just completely without my control.
Yeah. Took a shuttle to the airport. I mean, how do you accidentally get on a plane?
Yep.
You're just walking down the sidewalk and, you know, up the on-ramp. Airplane's just parked at the end of your street. Whoops.
Whoops. So there you go. That is Career Builder's top 10 weirdest excuses for calling in sick, and they were all used at actual workplaces.
I want to know if that last one actually worked. I accidentally got on a plane.
No, that didn't work.
Are you sure?
That's so dumb. I accidentally got on a plane. Yeah.
Do you know how much effort there is involved in getting on a plane?
I was walking down the street and I tripped and I fell right into a taxi cab that was going right to the airport. I tried to get out of the taxi. I tripped out of the taxi cab. I rolled right into one of those moving belts that carried me right to the plane. They thought I was luggage. They threw me right onto the plane and here I am in New Mexico making meth.
Making meth. It's my religion.
That's my religion. There you go. That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Oh, I accidentally got on an airplane, Rich.
Yes, that is an acceptable apparently.
Can I use that excuse for getting out of recording?
Not yet.
I accidentally got on an airplane. I don't know what happened.
Not yet, but well, not yet. Maybe in 2015.
Maybe in 2015. Okay, yeah. We got to let some time pass. Why would I ever want to miss recording these episodes, though? No.
But you know what? That's a lot of odd news to swallow for just for now. So we'll take a little bit of a break and we'll come back and give you more of the odd news of 2014. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is our last episode of 2014. Don't even think about going anywhere.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
Father Sean Thompson was stopped and charged with a DUI as well as a number of misdemeanor drugs and weapons offenses after a trooper observed his pickup truck doing 79 miles per hour in a 65 mile per hour zone. Trooper Christopher Bitts observed the 52-year-old's truck was weaving and speeding when Bitts approached the vehicle and asked Thompson for his registration. The priest just handed over a receipt from the bar instead.
That's how you know you're drunk.
Thompson did not tell the officer that he also had a 9mm pistol in his back pocket. He also failed to inform Bitts that he also had a small quantity of marijuana he had stashed in his shirt.
Guns and drugs and booze?
Yeah, the Holy Trinity.
The Holy Trinity. Guns, drugs, and booze.
Yeah.
In the name of the gun and of the beer and of the illegal drugs. Our Father, who art with guns, drunken be thy name.
Thy kingdom come when thou is high, on earth as it is in the clouds.
Amen. I would like to go to one of his sermons. He gets to the part with the wine and he just keeps on asking the altar boy for a refill. Like, more! Come here, boy!
We need it for God, alright?
It's for God! I said it's for God, give me another one. And the little, like, 9-year-old's like, sir, I'm gonna have to cut you off.
That's when you know you're an alcoholic.
When the altar boy cuts you off of sacramental wine.
Yeah. Padre, sit down. Sit down the next couple rounds, okay?
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Oh, yeah, we're back here. That was our last commercial break of 2014.
This was it.
This is the home stretch.
It's so sad, Rich.
I know.
But we'll be back in 2015.
It's not over yet.
That's right.
We've got the rest of the best of the odd news of 2014. And these last couple of stories are going to even make you roll on the floor even more.
Yeah. Put on some adult diapers.
Yeah, you might need
them. Because these stories will make you piss yourself. You're laughing so hard.
Yeah.
I guarantee it.
You might need it.
It's going to happen.
What is the category that we're going to jump back into with this batch of odd news?
We have Hanky Panky Gone Wrong. Yeah, these stories are, some of the more intimate moments on the odd news that just didn't quite work out for those people involved. And first up, we have Seattle James Bond, episode 78.
A Seattle man is facing felony assault charges after he shot at two people who interrupted his oral sex session taking place out on the street.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
You interrupted the best part! Bang, bang, bang! Was he just like chilling in the middle of the street? Paint a picture.
I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style!
Paint a picture for us, Rich. was he in like the middle of an intersection? Was he like off to the side?
All right, here it
what
is.
What was going on here?
Here it is. Police said the incident took place around 2 a.m. when an unnamed man and woman were walking down a downtown street arguing with each other. At the same time, a man identified as Paul Hunter was receiving oral sex from an unidentified woman.
Prostitute.
Yes. okay. The woman performing the alleged sex act on the suspect was apparently spooked by the quarreling couple and decided to flee the scene before the suspect had climaxed.
that's why he was so mad.
Yeah.
So he jumps out of the shadows with a raging erection.
Yep.
And charges towards the couple with a gun.
Also, on just a random interesting note, he's wearing a tuxedo. I don't know why.
Thursday night, 2 a.m., getting a blowjob.
Might as well be dressed to the nines.
Dressed for the occasion, yes. Rich. Back alley, prostitute visit, tuxedo. I want to know what he wears to weddings.
Yeah. Damn, yeah, if a you know, booty call is a tuxedo, yeah, what does he wear to a wedding?
Oh, my gosh. So this guy wearing a tuxedo with a raging erection storms out of the shadows and attacks this couple.
Yep, confronts the couple, and then pulls out a 9mm Kel-Tec pistol.
Why is he carrying a gun wearing a tuxedo while visiting a prostitute? What was he expecting to do that night? He's got a tuxedo, a gun, and a prostitute. He's James Bond.
Yeah.
What else could it be?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Bushy galore. Shuck it. Shuck it. Good, yeah. Bushy.
You'll never know when I'm going to need my Kel-Tec pistol.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, now pay attention here, 007.
Oh, yes.
This cufflink on your tuxedo will spray the sleeping agent so that you can have any hooker that you want.
Are you advocating rape?
No, it's all for the mission. Pay attention, 007. I'm trying to show you what happens for the mission.
What?
Now, if you use it now on your own personal... things. That's on your end.
What mission is James Bond going on where he has to knock out prostitutes? Oh my god. What is happening?
I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, what why else would he have a tuxedo, a gun, and
oh my god.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh my gosh. That's really the only response that there is to a story like this.
All right. Now, when the guy confronted the couple, he said, quote, "You're dead, mother effer." Of course, that's censored.
Of course.
Hunter then shouted at the pair, "You're dead," and fired one bullet at them.
That's it. After all that, it's just one bullet, bang, it just runs in the opposite direction.
The victims cowered behind a parked car until he decided to leave the scene. A witness to the shooting corroborated the victim's claims. He told police that before the shooting, Hunter had given the woman money for oral sex and that he was angry at the couple.
Okay.
He was angry at the couple. Because he did not get a chance to finish.
Wait. We got to back up. What was this witness doing that he watched this whole thing go down? Was this witness just like, oh man, that guy's about to visit a prostitute. I better watch this. Oh my gosh.
Hunter was picked up a short time after officers received a 911 call about the shooting. They said that he was, quote, highly intoxicated, according to the police report, but they declined to give a statement on him. The suspect was charged with second-degree assault. He remains in King County Jail on a $100,000 bond.
And he never got to finish.
Yeah.
That's the saddest part of the story. It's heartbreaking, really.
Boy, is that a case of blue balls.
Oh, yeah. I love the fact that he's, like, so angry. He's like, bang,
bang.
And that's it.
It's the golden gun.
Oh, that's what it is.
That's what it is. Yeah. It's the golden gun. You only need one bullet.
Yeah. He is James Bond. He is Seattle's James Bond.
He's drunk. He's in a tuxedo. He's getting a BJ.
He's got a gun. Yeah. I remember being so proud that I made that connection to James Bond.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Thank you.
Might be the plot of Spectre in 2015.
Ooh, now that's a movie.
Yeah. Let's get to the next one here. Oh my God, this one's crazy. This is School Bus Tricks, episode 79. A Florida bus driver is accused of trying to pick up a prostitute while he was on duty.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Yep.
Hey, Mr. Bus Driver, that's not a student.
Shut up, Billy. Shut up, Billy.
This
don't be a blocker here.
This is Trixie. She teaches a different type of class.
Oh, baby, you're in trouble. Into the dungeon you go.
I'm sorry, that seems so murderous. Oh my god. So wait, when you say on duty, was he like in the middle of a bus route? He's like, you know what? I could use a good BJ right now. I want to know more about this prostitute and this bus driver. Was he actually doing a bus route, Rich?
All right. Well, 43-year-old Rodriguez Macchiari was arrested in Sarasota County when he solicited an undercover police officer working a prostitution sting at 9:45 a.m.
Wow. Jeez. Well, that bus route was really stressful. So, you know, he's got to blow off a little steam.
I know it's something to do with sex.
The bus driver who works for the Sarasota County Area Transit, shuttling disabled passengers to appointments.
Oh my gosh.
Had 45 minutes to spare before his next pickup.
Well, he had enough time, you know. Yeah. And lots of open seats, right?
There was a period of disbelief when the bus pulled up and it looked like it was actually going to be a transaction, said Sergeant Dimitri Constantinopoulos.
Constantinople?
No.
Okay.
Constantinopolis of the Sarasota Police Department. Police said that Macchiari paid the undercover officer $20 for an undisclosed sexual act.
Wow, that's not bad. I'm just saying, $20, that's not too expensive.
There you go.
Just saying.
Mike's official
Mike's official aunt, did you say?
Analysis. Was oh, what analysis. I was trying to
okay.
Say.
Oh, yeah.
My God.
Prostitute stocks are up 20%. You make it sound like I'm. When you say analysis.
Prostitute stocks are up 20%.
You make it. Yeah, when you say analysis, you make it sound like I'm doing like a market breakdown or something. But. I love this image though of this undercover cop working this street corner, and this big giant magic school bus just pulls
a magic school bus,
and just the door slides open, the lights go on.
Magic school bus.
It's a different type of magic school bus.
I know it's something to do with sex.
I have a question. When he opened the door, did the lights come on and all traffic stop? Was it an actual school bus?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know how the little stop sign flips out? Stop. And the bus just... And he never closes the door, so all the cars are just waiting.
Yeah, all the cars are just waiting. What's going on here?
Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh. Authorities clarified the situation, saying that the man at least did not want to have intercourse inside the bus, so that's good.
Yeah,
he has some standards.
That's great. Yeah, thank God for that. That just makes me feel so much better about our bus drivers. they're picking up hookers, but at least they're not doing it in the bus.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We have moral standards. All
these
right?
are classy people. They don't do it in the school bus. They take it to the back alley.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Macquarie was placed on administrative leave pending further investigation.
Oh, boy.
That's right on just the magic school bus.
That's what happened to the cast of the Magic School Bus.
They become hookers?
School bus hookers.
School bus hookers. It's like a very specific fetish. Oh, boy.
I know it's something to do with sex.
50 Shades of Grey, that famous novel. My library doesn't carry it.
Oh, boy.
Well, this Magic School Bus library might carry it. Yep.
I just love that image of just that school bus parked with this little stop sign out. Yeah. You know? Oh, man. You know, I just don't know what to say.
Let's get to the next one.
This next one.
Because this one goes in my top five
of all time
news stories of 2014, as far as I'm concerned.
Definitely. We're talking about, of course.
and the title's great. Say it loud and proud, Mike.
Meatball Menage a Trois, episode 80.
30-year-old Martin Miller and his wife, Daniela Miller, had been sharing their home with 20-year-old Michael Chaney. Chaney told authorities that he was homeless until the couple allowed him to share their home and pay a little bit of rent.
Okay,
fair enough.
Yeah, it's decent.
Last week, the couple and Chaney flirted around and engaged in a shared sexual experience. Do you like that term for a threesome?
Shared
sexual experience.
I know it's something to do with sex.
It's a shame it was two guys and one girl, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not gay if it's a three-way. That's what, you know, the Lonely Island says.
It's not gay if it's a three-way.
Yeah.
All right.
Last week, so this happened, this threesome happened the week before.
Okay.
But afterwards, Chaney told cops that Martin Miller became jealous of him. I think you can put two and two together there.
Yeah.
A few days later, on September 12th, Chaney decided to be a nice guy and tried to cook some meatballs for the couple.
Okay, that was nice of him.
He then randomly brought one of the meatballs into the bathroom where Daniela Miller was putting on some makeup.
He brought two meatballs and a sausage.
Sausages!
I forgot about that. How can I forget about that clip?
Sausages!
So he goes, hey, I'm cooking meatballs, and here's a sausage.
Sausages!
Why? So when the husband heard that, you know, the wife was like, oh, you know, I forget his name. Bob showed me his meatballs. Martin showed me his meatballs in the bathroom. The husband immediately thinks, oh, my gosh. He doesn't think it's literal. Why did he bring the actual meatballs, not his meatballs? Well, I guess technically his meatballs go with him everywhere, but
all right, I'm getting really confused. I don't know what you're referring to for which connotation. I don't know what you're talking about for connotation, which is actual food here.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed, it was erotic.
Did he show his testicles to the woman in the bathroom?
All right,
or
well,
did he show literal meatballs?
At the time, Daniela Miller was putting on makeup and taking a bath. So she was obviously in a state of undress here.
Right. And he decided to bring her a meatball.
Yep.
The food kind.
Yep.
Well.
So at that point, that's when Martin Miller showed up in the bathroom.
Uh-oh.
And that's when Chaney offered up the meat to both parties.
You want to taste my meat?
I know it's something to do with sex.
It reminds me, you know, going back to SNL, sweaty balls.
Yeah, there's some sweaty balls here.
You want to taste my sweaty balls?
Martin Miller then allegedly
God, I can't get through this story.
Martin Miller then allegedly grabbed his meatballs.
Come on. Come on.
And threw the meatballs into the bathtub.
Well, of course he did.
Now, Chaney at this time thought that it was an accident. So he goes downstairs and grabs more meatballs and brings it upstairs. When he showed the meatballs,
why is he bringing the meatballs to the bathroom? Who does that? It's like, hey, I'm cooking this steak. Can you tell me if it's done on this side? Why?
When he brought...
So he got his other meatballs.
Yep. When he brought them upstairs, Martin Miller did the same thing and threw them in the bathtub as well.
So now the wife is sitting there. There's just little meatballs floating around her.
Bloop, 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 bloop.
Rubber ducky. Meatball, you're the one. Om, om, om. It's like Italian wedding soup.
Threesome meatball, you're the one. You make having sex with my husband so much fun.
Oh my gosh.
Why have one sausage when you can have two?
Sausage!
And that's all I have to say to you.
Beautiful, Rich. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
So what's it? Channing brought his meatballs into the bathroom again, and the husband threw them in the water again.
Yep, and that's when Chaney realized that it wasn't an accident the first time around.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's...
Why would he think it was an accident? The husband, like, rips his meatballs out of his hands and throws them in the water.
Sometimes you mishandle your meatballs, you know? You gotta deal with that.
Yeah, but you don't drop them in the bathtub.
That's when the two began to argue. This escalated into Miller threatening to beat up Chaney and Chaney telling him to go ahead.
What's the wife doing in all this?
She creepily walked out. She realized this was going south.
She just continues bathing.
That's when Miller allegedly threw the first punch, and then they got into a fight. At that point, Chaney got kicked in the chest and started choking him.
Wow.
All right. At that point.
This went from weird erotica to like Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
That's when the wife went to the phone and called 911.
It took her that long. Well, she had to soak first.
Yeah. She had all those meatballs she had to deal with.
She was clean and then the meatballs she had to wash again, you know. Yeah.
Police say Miller, who was a Marine, told them, quote, I'm a Marine. It's not my fault. When someone challenges me, I go into kill mode.
No, I'm going to f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
That's his actual quote. I'm going to go into kill mode.
I thought military people were supposed to have discipline, too. And not just like...
He missed that class.
Fly off the handles and murder the guy that's offering his meatballs to his wife. That does sound pretty bad, though.
Yeah.
You know? You can't just walk up to somebody's wife in the bathtub and offer her your meatballs.
Sounds to me like his meatballs weren't doing the job.
Yeah.
Why do you bring the meatballs back?
That's the best part of the story. You're like, oh, you seem to have dropped the meatballs. Another batch. Don't worry. I'll bring more.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know what else I noticed? Those three stories were back to back to back in weeks.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, 78, 79, 80.
Very good stream of odd news there.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, but you know what? For the last category, Rich, we're jumping across the pond. We're going to talk some foreign policy. Yeah, these stories are weird stories from abroad. I find those are some of our best, you know, between the odd names and just the weird cultural situations.
Oh, we're not actually discussing foreign policy.
Oh, no. These are odd news stories.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you doing? Are you still praising your glorious leader?
Praise the glorious leader. You're
still talking about the interview?
Praise the glorious leader. They offended my glorious leader, Rich. But anyway... Let's get into some odd news foreign policy. With the first story, Dead People Are Alive and Pancakes, episode 87.
A 91-year-old Polish woman who was actually declared dead was found to be alive inside a body bag in a morgue's cold storage area 11 hours after she was declared dead.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So, did they save her then? Did they get her out alive?
Yes, they did.
Oh, wow.
Janina Kolkowiczowicz's niece, Bogumiła Kolkowiczowicz.
What was that name? Bogima?
Bogumiła. What the hell? Why are these weird names?
Different and new syllables. It's like, it's a surprise every time. It sounds like it's a disease.
These horrible names, man. They're going to be the death of
bulimia?
Me.
It's not bulimia. Janina Kolkowiczowicz's niece, Bogumiła Kolkowiczowicz, said that she called her family's physician.
What was the physician's name?
Dr. Wislaw Sist.
Dr. Sist?
Yeah, Sist. Yes. When she found her aunt was not breathing and did not seem to have a pulse at their home. Sorry, so the niece said that she called her family's physician, Dr. Wislaw Sist, when she found her aunt was not breathing and did not seem to have a pulse at their home. Dr. Sist confirmed the elder Kolkowiczowicz was deceased and officially wrote out a death certificate for the woman. However, that death certificate had to be invalidated when morgue staff found Kolkowiczowicz moving inside of her body bag.
Oh, my God. That's terrifying.
Yep. Janina Kolkowiczowicz returned home where her family helped her warm up some soup and pancakes.
You're live, Grandma. Have some pancakes. She's going, I should die more often.
Wow, you guys cook breakfast for me when I'm dead?
Yeah, where was this breakfast when I was alive? Oh, my God. Boogaloma served her pancake wankers.
McDonald's pancakes. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Wake up your dead grandmother.
Oh. You know what? I have no idea what that story is about because I spent the whole thing laughing so hard. So dead people, they're alive and pancakes.
Dead people are alive and pancakes.
Pancakes. That's all I heard from that.
If we have to ever...
Boogaloma. Whatever her name is. Bulgaria. You should just call her Bulgaria.
If we ever have to announce the zombie apocalypse, there you go. It's zombies are alive and pancakes.
This just in. Reports are coming in that Boogaloma has passed away, but she's risen from the dead, and she's now eating pancakes. We're going to our man on the street, Rich Liebig, who's interviewing Boogaloma, and he has to say her name when introducing her.
Thanks, Tom. You're a dick. But we're here with the elder Kolkowiczowicz woman who has just been revived from the dead. She's eating McDonald's pancakes. By the way, have you gotten your McDonald's pancakes today? Make sure to visit one of their proud participating locations. Back to you, you dick.
This zombie apocalypse is brought to you by McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Zombies are back.
Oh, my God.
So, there you go.
What is happening? I feel like David after the dentist. Is this real life?
Is this real life? I don't know.
I don't know.
This woman was declared dead, and now she's alive again.
Now she's eating pancakes. In 24 hours, you die, come back to life, and eat pancakes. That's better than the Bible's version.
Yeah. Who the hell's Lazarus? Move over. We got Janina Kolkowiczowicz. All right.
Oh, my God.
She's eating freaking pancakes over here.
I could go for a pancake. Laughing makes you hungry, you know?
Well, we'll get some after the podcast. All right, Mike?
Okay. Sounds good.
Sponsored by McDonald's pancakes.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. We're losing it.
Well, anyway.
The story's not over.
Janina Kolkowiczowicz has no comprehension of what happened in that span when she was declared dead. Police are investigating the incident because they might have to institute criminal charges against the doctor that issued the death certificate.
Oh, that's not good. Let me see those names. I want to read them. Oh, my God. Janina Kolkowiczowicz and Bogomila?
Yeah, you
Bogomila.
Try, you try reading this.
Bogomila Kokowitz and Wislawa. What is it? Wawa?
Wawa?
Dr. Wawa Cyst. That's amazing.
Wawa.
Where was that? Poland?
Yeah.
They need better names than Poland.
And pancakes.
And pancakes.
That's the best part of that story. Yeah. And pancakes.
Save the grandmother. Let's have pancakes.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You can't go wrong with that. And I got to say, Rich, I love the pronunciation of all the foreign, what are they, Polish names, I think.
Yeah. Thanks, Poland.
Thanks, Poland.
Way to help me out.
We have In-Flight Donkey Snack, episode 48.
A donkey penis was confiscated at a New Zealand airport.
What? What's happening in this story? Why are there donkey penises? I can't even say it. Who has a donkey penis just on its own? Where did the rest of the donkey go? And why are you trying to, where is this, New Zealand?
Yeah.
Were they coming into New Zealand or leaving New Zealand? Were they stealing New Zealand donkey penis? Or were they trying to import donkey penis from another country?
Officials with the New Zealand Ministry for Primary Industries said that a Chinese passenger was traveling from China to Wellington. He then said right up to front to the security guardsman that he declared that I have a donkey penis.
Do you have anything to declare, sir? Yes. Donkey dong. Why do they not say donkey dong? Come on. They missed a great opportunity for alliteration there.
Could it copyright infringement with Donkey Kong?
Oh, wow.
Apparently, he said that he was going to use it as food.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
For him or for something else?
In China?
Was this like an in-flight snack? You didn't get enough pretzels, so you just... What is happening in the world? Why are we...
Well, in China,
oh my God,
the eating of male animal genitalia is actually not not uncommon. But it's still weird that this guy tried to bring it with him on the airline.
So it's not... So apparently this isn't just donkeys. It's just all male animal genitals.
In China, in rural parts of China, it is not uncommon.
Wow. I guess donkey is like...
But he shouldn't be trying to bring that onto an airplane.
No.
And trying to use it as a snack.
Why would you think that that's appropriate?
It's like sausage.
Oh, God. Well, there goes one of my favorite foods.
No sausages. No sausages. No. No sausages. Sausages!
Oh, my God. Thanks, Rich.
That clip will always work for every situation.
For everything.
That involves any sort of...
long cylindrical object.
Yeah.
What was he planning when he gets on the plane? What was his... I'm trying to get in his mind. He's like, I'm going to get on the plane. It's in my carry-on. I'm going to take it out. I'm just going to whip out... It's like 9-inch donkey dick. Am I not allowed to say that?
Yeah, you can't, say, you can't say the D word in reference to...
Well,
genitalia.
What if he was referring to a donkey that was being a jerk? Donkey... No? Okay. He whips out a donkey penis.
There you go.
And he just starts munching on it. What do the passengers next to him think? Like, oh my God, this guy's eating penis on the plane.
There you go.
What did he think was going to happen? I'm just baffled by this whole... I don't think you can beat it, Rich.
Yeah, he could have just, you know, had a little snack.
Just a little nibble. Just a nibble. To yeah. Tide him over until
Tickle.
Dinner.
Tickle.
Yes! Tickle. I knew that would come in handy!
I love this.
Tickle.
That's what he was saying!
I love this.
Tickle. If only it had been a goat and we could play that whole clip.
If it was goat penis.
Goat penis, yeah.
Yeah,
do you want me to say I love this donkey now?
You don't have to say
okay.
that.
Okay.
I love this.
Tickle. Wow.
He's just eating. He notices the passenger next to him staring. He's like, oh, would you like to try some?
Yeah.
No, thank you. You can have your penis to yourself. Just endless possibilities with this story.
I just couldn't contain myself on this one.
Yeah, you love that one.
You had to bleep me a few times. It's just so weird.
It is. That one was weird. Using it as a little snack.
Yeah, as a little snack. Nom, nom, nom. that's the whole point of the odd news, though. That's the whole point of it.
Yeah. So is stories like this, which, oh my gosh, when this came across my news desk, I couldn't believe this was a true story. I tried to verify it. I tried to see if there was any, you know, websites that were saying that it was false. No, this actually happened.
Oh my gosh.
A Chinese man loves his air conditioner. Episode 66. A Chinese man who got his penis stuck in an air conditioning pipe.
What?
Yep. Laying it all out there in the first sentence.
Wow. An air conditioner. That means he's like taking apart the air conditioner. You can't just get to. Okay. So anyway, what happened next?
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
So inflatable devices are now the air conditioner.
Yeah. A Chinese man who got his penis stuck in an air conditioning pipe waited 2 days before seeking medical attention because he was embarrassed.
Wow. 2 days?
Yep. And even after the fact that he was embarrassed, Mr. Lian Tian told doctors that it was all an accident.
An accident?
Yes.
He just bumped into the air conditioning pipe. What is an air conditioning pipe anyway?
It's apparently something that goes over your Johnson.
I guess so. Accidentally, of course.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Lian Ten kept telling doctors that, quote, he slipped and got himself stuck in the pipe while he was painting in the nude at his house.
So he's... So let me get this straight. Not only was he painting in the nude, but he had a full-on erection, and he slipped. And it just so happened that that full-on erection went inside the air conditioning pipe, whatever the hell he was banging at the time.
Yeah.
That is a crazy accident.
Yeah.
Well, checks out. You're free to go.
One in a million, Doc.
One in a million.
Yeah. One in a million.
You're never going to believe this one, Doc.
The 61-year-old admitted that he did not think people would believe him. And
no kidding. Really? What gave that away?
And only went to the hospital after he experienced severe swelling and developed a fever.
That sounds really dangerous.
Yeah. He said, quote, I thought no one would believe me, and I tried everything I could think of to get the damn thing off once it got stuck. The pipe, I cut it from the wall and tried pouring oil and liquid soap down the sides of it, but it was so tightly wedged that nothing dripped down.
Oh my God, that sounds awful.
I thought if I went to sleep, I would relax and it would slide off, but it didn't.
Oh God.
It was then I realized I'm about to get a terrible infection.
Yeah, because his penis is stuck in a pipe.
Yep. Well, guess what?
What?
The doctors were unable to treat Tian.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Apparently, their tools weren't strong enough for the pipe.
Oh, what did they have to do?
They had to call in the fire brigade.
Oh, my gosh. Please tell me they got him out, though.
The fire brigade had to use their tools, and it took 4 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Before they were finally able to remove the air conditioning pipe from Tian's genitals.
Wow.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
You're gonna be okay. Say the goddamn words. You're gonna be okay.
Oh, God.
Say the goddamn f***ing words.
They were saying that for
4 hours.
4 hours, yeah.
4 hours. And he's
just... Don't have sex with air conditioners. It doesn't... I mean... It doesn't even...
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Really? Who looks at an air conditioner and says, you know what? I'm going to have sex with that thing. Yeah, really.
Oh, yeah.
Some is as weird as the pants lobsters. Not as quite. Or the flaty ladies.
Flaty lady and... and, I don't know, air conditioning...
Bitches.
bitches.
I don't know.
Just stuck bitches for good measure.
Just in case.
Air conditioning pipe bitches.
My question is, though,
ACPB.
ACPB. Oh, my gosh. Sounds like a rock band. But,
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? That would be a good name for a rock band. Air conditioning pipe bitches.
Air conditioning pipe bitches.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. They could dedicate all their songs to this guy.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing, though. Does he not see all the holes in the story? He claims he slipped and he accidentally had sex with this pipe. But then he said that he had to cut it out of the wall. I don't understand. How do you get to the air conditioning pipes in the first place? You know what I mean? Like, he had to renovate his home to actually get to it, right?
He cut the pipe out first and then decided to
paint. And then he slipped into it.
And then he slipped into it.
All while in the nude.
All while in the nude.
I'm going to get my power tools out, but first, I've got to take the pants off.
Yep.
And I like to paint with it. I'm not going to say this stuff because you're going to turn it into clips. Oh, my gosh.
No, what are you about to say?
I was going
to
say, he's like, I got to take the pants off and you know, I got to paint with this rock hard erection. Maybe he was painting with his penis and he slipped and that's how it happened.
His penis was doing more painting than him.
I guess. This is just the most ridiculous story.
Oh,
watch it be true, though.
No, I
watch
can't.
It be he actually slipped. The poor guy, he's just trying to tell the truth, and nobody believes him. That's what it is.
I don't believe him.
No, neither do I.
Yep, he still told doctors at the hospital he slipped and got himself stuck in the pipe while painting in the nude at his house. Yeah, right.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, nothing wrong with a little love with your air conditioner.
Yeah. While he was painting.
While he was painting, yeah. In the nude.
Yeah, don't forget, nothing wrong with painting in the nude.
I just happened to be painting in the nude, and I just happened to, you know, stick it in.
Yeah, it happened.
The air conditioner. It was an honest mistake. Oh, boy. And, you know, oddly enough, the donkey one, the past one, and this next one all came from China, Rich. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Yeah, and to wrap it up, last but not least, we have Chinese Superman, episode 78.
In Sichuan, China, a man allegedly got drunk and decided to break into a home.
Okay, pretty standard stuff for obvious. Yep.
During his breaking and entering, he tiptoed into the bedroom of a 10-year-old girl.
Oh, this is not good.
But the 10-year-old girl woke up and confronted the would-be thief.
Okay.
When asked, "Who are you and what are you doing here?" the self-respecting, intoxicated person explained the weirdest excuse for being in the room.
Okay.
He said, quote, "Do not worry, I'm Superman."
I'm Superman.
I'm Superman. Don't worry. Yep.
So he had a boombox playing the music too, right?
He had it on his cell phone. He was ready to go.
So here's the biggest question. Did the little girl believe the story that he was Superman, that he was there to save her?
Well, guess what?
What?
That's when the girl got a little skeptical.
No kidding.
Yep.
You're telling me Superman isn't a drunk Chinese man?
Drunk Chinese man!
Ta-da!
Oh, my God. All right. So the girl...
I love this heroic music. Go ahead.
So the girl is skeptical, right?
Right.
The man doesn't want to get caught with the parents, right?
Right.
So he starts reasoning with her.
Okay.
Superman. Don't worry.
I'm really Superman.
All right. So the girl said, "If you want to prove to me that you're Superman, fly."
Oh, my God. She's the smartest person ever.
So are you ready for what he did?
Did he jump out the window?
To prove that he was the Man of Steel, desperate man Tong Li decided to jump from the fifth floor window.
Oh my gosh.
He decided to spring into action.
Faster than a speeding bullet.
Oh my gosh.
Oh.
Yep.
Wow. Nobody can see my hand motions. I'm flying. I'm pretending to fly.
Oh my god. This is in his head while he's flying out of the window.
He valiantly leaps, fists in the air, ready to take off, and he plummets 5 stories like a sack of rocks.
Oh my gosh. So, of course, he fell 5 stories.
What? He... Drunk Chinese Superman didn't fly?
No.
No? Oh.
No. He suffered severe cuts and bruises and was charged with burglary when the cops arrived on the scene.
Oh, my God. I can just picture him belly flopping 5 stories.
Tang Li told the police that he had too many drinks.
No kidding. What? But wait, Rich, this doesn't add up. He told the girl he was Superman.
Yeah, I know.
Now he can't get his story straight.
When he was being held in police custody, that's when he explained the whole story. To keep her quiet, I told her that I was Superman and that I would be flying off back to my secret headquarters. I've got to go. My people need me. Good night. Oh my gosh.
You know, I'm going to want this music played behind every odd news story because it fits so perfectly.
Tang Li said that I had no choice, so I decided to try and fly through the window.
I decided to try. He makes it sound like it was possible. I decided to give it my best shot. I jumped and I fell.
He later said that, quote, I know it doesn't make sense, but I did it when I was drunk.
The age-old excuse.
Yep. The super stupid suspect was taken to the hospital to be treated for injuries, but now remains in police custody on burglary charges. That is the perfect ending for 2014, as far as I'm concerned. Nothing can top that.
You can't get
Superman.
Better than that. The music and everything, it all worked perfectly.
Yep. So, there you go. That was the year 2014 in odd news. I loved it. That was great.
Yeah. I love reliving all those crazy moments. So many laughs. So many memories.
Good times.
Noodle salad.
Yeah, that's right. Good times, noodle salad. That's right.
Good times, noodle salad.
That's what we're about here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We're just having a bunch of fun with a bunch of weird news stories.
Yep. That's what we do.
Yeah. Oh.
With that, I think it's time to do the last lap of 2014. Yep. That wonderful music kicks in. That means it's time to wrap up this show, the last show of 2014. What a year you've been, good old 14.
Yeah, it's been a hell of a year, man. What a blast.
This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you liked anything that you've heard from this whole show, this is what we do. We cover sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. If you want more on the Crispy Noodle, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find some of our best bits, interviews, and other fun videos. But most importantly, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free, straight to your computer, phone, or tablet. You can listen to it at work, on the go, at home, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
Also, we've got a SoundCloud page. You know those little promos that you heard in our breaks
between segments, that's where we store them. Check out our SoundCloud page to see the mini noodles. We take the best bits of the show, condense them down to 1 to 2 minutes, so that you can listen to it on the go and easily share it with your friends and family. The craziness, the oddness, the uniqueness, the weirdness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Oh, that's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. That's how you find us on the Twitters. I can't believe it's over. This is it.
I know. Well, it's not over. We'll be back in 2015.
Oh, yes, of course. But
with a whole new batch of sports, entertainment, and odd news that'll just blow your mind.
Yep. But for now, bye-bye, 2014. It was good to know you.
Yeah. See you in 2015, people.
Yep. That'll do it. I'm Rich Liebig.
I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we'll see you guys next year.
Yeah, see you next year.
Literally. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Crispy Noodle Podcast, 2014. Aruga. Boom. In your face. Ha ha.
Hey, guys. Oh, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.